If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
TheRightStuff.biz.
The Daily Show, number 946, coming at you.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
The Daily Show.
Daily Show.
Jewish apocalypse.
Yeah. Somebody was taking us on a trip down memory lane with that guy the other day.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Apparently after we were done with him, that. I don't know if he was a YouTuber. There was some like guy that's not in our thing that like became obsessed with this person, Godwinson. Apparently, there's.
I remember that guy.
Apparently, that guy made a whole documentary about Jahans. I've never seen it. I'm gonna have to check that out.
I remember. I vaguely that name sounds familiar at least, but Jahans was not just something that we were looking at. Like a lot of people were like, this guy made a big splash with a lot of people.
Yeah, well, I mean, he specifically engaged. He engaged with our forum trolls, like we talk about the Daily Show all the time. I'll never forget. I mean, that was wild. So we got a lot of like, there was a lot of like milk out of that lolcow. But I have to check that documentary out one day.
Is he still around?
I have no idea, dude. I haven't heard anything about him in ages.
I remember it all started with, get rid of the guns. Get rid of them. It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
It's not worth it.
Get rid of all the guns. It's like,
get rid of all the guns. It's not worth it.
It's like, why do people like come to this conclusion? Like these,
he's
these
like
fucking
a British
lunatic
like, that sexually abuses his sister and neighbors and parents.
Oh, I forgot
just
about
like
that.
A weirdo. Yeah. Oh, sorry about that. Sorry about that.
But it's like, people are getting shot by niggers. Let's take their guns away. It's like, well, are you going to take the niggers' guns away? Ass racist.
Yeah. It was like in response to like a not. It wasn't in response to niggers. It was like some white person did something, and that's when he went nuts. But in any case, Daryl Brooks is.
Oh God, that's real.
This I don't know how this is going to end. I will be honest with you. I have no predictions in like the Kreskin silver ball for this one or Kristen silver ball. Silver balls.
You have
the Kreskin silver ball. I'm looking into my silver ball.
You can't see
anything.
You don't have any. You don't see any predictions inside your rapidly fucking declining in value Palantir.
Yeah, right. Yeah, my pound theory has gone down by $300.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I don't. Orb gazing is not like really. So what's happened is now Fox News made it, or Fox 6 Milwaukee, not Fox News, rather local Fox affiliate says this. They say one of the attorneys for Daryl Brooks, 40. Facing an October jury trial in November 2021, walks a Christmas parade attack.
I got it.
Filed a motion to withdraw the case.
You know why? He wants to withdraw from the case because he wants to defend. He doesn't want to defend Daryl Brooks. He's in. So he wants to defend the SUV. That's where all the blame is falling.
Yes, I'm not a lawyer for the SUV.
This SUV deserves a vigorous defense in a fair trial. This SUV that ran these people over.
Yes. Even if you hate. Even if the crime is despicable, the defendant still deserves a fair trial. And this SUV does not have an attorney.
That just sounds like Jewish nonsense. Is that even a founder's thing? Or is that just like a latter day, like, give us your poor, your tired, give us your...
You've gotten a right to an attorney, but then like what Jews will do, Jews always do this thing. Jews always do this bit of like, fundamentally, everyone has a right to an attorney. We can just leave it at that, right? Or you have the right to defend yourself or blah, blah, blah.
You have the right to a niggerous defense. That's what I'm putting in the
Jews
in the
like to insert these characterizations.
Yeah.
Like the whole, like, even if it's despicable. And like, I have made a vow, and I've always said this. Whenever I have to do something in court or anything, I will never say something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I will never say, even though my views are terrible.
No.
And you know who's been doing this? You know who's been getting caught up in doing this? The January 6th defendants. If you look at what they say in court, like almost all of them say, like, yes, what I did was terrible. I'm a terrible person. I'm so sorry. I'll never do it again. Please
give
mercy.
Awful.
And it's awful. It's disgusting. And their attorneys are advising them to do this. And the court and the judges are like bullying these people. Like they just put the guy in jail, a guy who all he did was walk into the Capitol. They just put him in jail for 4 years yesterday. 4 years he's got. And part of a factor in his sentencing was that he was dressed as Hitler for Halloween once. And they even made a thing of it in the news where they said a man who dressed as Hitler and entered the Capitol on January 6th. So, of course, they're trying to make it seem as if he was dressed as Hitler when entering the Capitol, which, of course, he wasn't. It was a Halloween costume gag like years prior that they dug up on Facebook and use it. Why is that even being used? Like, how is it that this dude's attorneys did not even just be like immediately like, Your Honor, that is not allowed in this fucking court.
Because,
are you kidding me? This guy's Halloween because of Judaism. I mean,
because this is the shot. This is what we're doing, like, because they're probably right. in on it. Like, I will
assume some of them are, but like some aren't, who knows? But some of them definitely are. But I would say if your attorney, if this happens, if they like dig up, if you are like on, if they dig up your Halloween costume from years ago, and try and present that, and your lawyer isn't immediately like, no,
there are cases,
get that shit the fuck out of this
there
court.
Cases,
like,
there are cases.
They're in on it.
There are terminal cases where, like, the criminal history of the perpetrator of the defendant is not admissible. So, like, why is your Halloween costume?
Daryl Brooks.
Yeah, they don't want to injure. That's the case.
Daryl Brooks' previous car attack that he had done a couple weeks prior to the parade attack is not admissible as something to be discussed during the trial.
Which is like,
so why the fuck is this guy's Halloween costume?
Yeah.
I mean, that's. I just want people to understand that's where we're at. So literally, this nigger like
that's not how it works, libtard. Like smugly, like in a Facebook comment that's not how the
well court system yeah works. No, that's my problem with conservatives is they're like that's not how it's supposed to. It's like they have an idea of how it's supposed to work and then they say it works that way. It doesn't work that way.
You know what's hilarious? So whenever I think about Judaism and I think about like the most despicable people that deserve a vigorous defense, it's like basically. I remember throughout the aughts, and forgive me for slipping into the comfy blanket of what the kosher narratives at the time were for this country. But I recall that like there would be an enemy of America. There would be somebody who allegedly was going to bomb. Basically, like you take somebody who was accused of
like
you would take like a foreign terrorist. Okay,
like Richard Reed.
Let's leave aside how much of gayop that in and of itself is, but you take one and that guy like somebody like that. Out of the woodwork comes like Ron Kuby and
Lynn Stewart.
Lynn Stewart. Like you, suddenly, like these free ACLU Jew attorneys pop up out of the woodwork to defend them to make sure that they get their, you know. But not with the January 6th.
Yeah, Lynn Stewart was like she was the lawyer for Abu Hamza
and she was
like
convicted
Randy
of
Yusuf and all those fucking
and
guys.
She was convicted for like allegedly she was they convicted they her for like her jail, but the yeah. point being is like no one's coming out of the woodwork to represent these January 6th people. No one's coming out of the woodwork to defend the Charlottesville guys. You know, where was their suddenly that op is rolled up. It's like no, these people that like cuz why? Because these people are actually against what they're all about. These are actual Americans.
Yeah,
Charlottesville,
actually,
January 6th people.
Yeah,
these are
actually fighting.
These are actual people that like they don't want someone like was it a guy like Ramzi Youssef or something?
Ramzi Youssef was the first World Trade Center bomber.
I'm thinking of somebody else, not him.
I think Lynn Stewart was his lawyer.
Oh, Lynn Stewart was
Abu
his
Hamza,
lawyer.
That the blind sheikh. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think so. I'm not sure if she was Ramzi Youssef's lawyer. She definitely was for that.
Okay.
That blind sheikh.
But just
guy
people
who was,
like that.
Who's
like,
in on that? All that
out, like
shit,
out of the woodwork to take care of that. Or this, like, Daryl Brooks, like, what's going on right now is kind of funny. It's like, what? So his public defender doesn't want to defend him, right? So we're
no, he doesn't want them to defend him.
Oh. Okay.
Yes. So.
I guess that's based.
Well, here's my thing. Okay, so we kind of got off track with this. But I want to finish this idea of, like, the despicable thing, right?
Yeah, the despicable thing.
This is very Jewish. It's very Jewish. And like I said.
And it doesn't extend to Nazis. Or people that aren't even Nazis.
Well, the thing is, when you find yourself making that argument, like you should never ever make an argument like that because what you should do is instead, like, say that what you've done is that you've not done anything wrong. Literally, niggers that like just stab five people in the face go to court like they did nothing wrong.
Yeah.
Right now, that you know, that's maybe a little bit different. But my point is that. When you say that, when people say that, what you're doing is you're giving power, you're giving all the power to the other side and just begging for mercy. But there's no reason for them to give it to you, particularly when you yourself are saying that you're a despicable worm. And I'm telling you, when people act even oppressed people, when they act in ways that are obsequious and not dignified, mm-hmm. and like submit, like it makes people resent them more. Like it makes people's reaction to someone who's oppressed but is acting in like a disgusting, like in which way a lot of oppressed people act. It makes people think you deserve it. Like you are a piece of shit. Like, yeah. You know, that's the reaction that people have. Like when people are doing that. And so it's like this never ending cycle. So you have to just be like, no, like I did nothing wrong. Mm-hmm. My Halloween costume is completely irrelevant to this. And just give a very, very vocal defense. I remember, without disclosing any names, a while ago, a guy was going to get, this is a fictional story, of course, he was going to get dismissed from a job over being a white nationalist, and mm-hmm. he had some dispute, and he sent me the brief his attorney had written to look over, and I looked at it, and it was filled with all that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So I took a red pencil to it, and I was like, no, cut this, and then said every place where the attorney said, like, my client, despite having these disgusting ideas and all this stuff, I said, like, I turned around and I accused the company of being anti-white.
Yeah.
I accused the employer of being anti-white.
There you go.
And he took it back to his attorney. He said, his attorney just about shit a brick and didn't want to submit it.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, then, you know, what can I tell you? Like,
because for that attorney, when that case is over, he has to go back to work.
Yeah, he's got to go back. Well, he's got to go back to the cocktail party with the other members of the bar association.
He's got to be able to go in front of that judge another time without him remembering, you're the guy who filed this bullshit.
But my thing is like, so what? Like, my thing is like, the thing is, you have a built-in defense for that as an attorney.
Yeah.
Every client deserves the best defense I can give them.
But because there's
if a client hires me, it's my job to give them the best defense I can give them.
If the Jews say so.
Right. But then there's actually the fact of the matter is, that's not really how it works.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What it really works is, everyone deserves, every Jew, fucking white collar criminal and nigger murderer, mm-hmm. and terrorist deserves the best defense you give them.
Right.
Nazis don't deserve defense.
Right.
White Trump supporters, capital people, capital protesters, Nazis, these people do not deserve a legal defense. And so the very fact that this dude's Halloween costume was allowed in court to influence, to even be there in any way, shape, or form at all is ridiculous. And when you look at the way, I was reading something about this guy and his sentencing and the sort of like excerpts from the transcript of the court hearing, and the judges, just these judges are just like abusing these people.
Yeah.
And then these people are being like obsequious towards the judge, and the judges are being even more abusive. I'm like, this is disgusting. I literally want to do like the Al Pacino in Scent of a Woman bit. Like this one, that's what needs to happen to these places, because it's just like, this is so fucking disgusting. It's so disgusting. It really is horrible.
And where's Donald Trump being cheered on?
Where is anybody? But back to this Brooks thing, though.
Oh, yeah.
Here's what I think is going to happen. The judge is going to not let the lawyers out.
Interesting.
Because what happens is that they've – so Fox got it wrong. They said that these two attorneys have filed a motion to withdraw from the case 2 weeks before the trial is set to start at the beginning of October. Attorneys Jeremy Perry and Anna Keyes have been defending Brooks since November 2021. Perry filed the motion to withdraw Thursday because Brooks wants to represent himself. And there's a picture of the motion. It's not really worth bringing up, but I have it here. I got to put my glasses. I got it right here. Says, please take notice that as soon as counsel may be heard, we'll move for an order allowing attorneys Jeremy Perry and Anna Keyes to withdraw as counsel for the defendant in the above captioned case. The motion is pursuant to Mr. Brooks's request that he represent himself, dated Waukesha, Wisconsin, 22nd September 2022, signed by Jeremy C. Perry. So the way Fox reports it is Jeremy Perry filed the motion, but he filed it on behalf of himself and the other woman, Anna Keyes. So they're both withdrawing.
Right.
Because Brooks wants to defend himself. Now, here's what I suspect will happen. The judge is going to go, motion denied. Sorry.
Interesting.
These two are public defenders.
Right.
So it says both of Brooks' attorneys are with the state public defender's office in Waukesha County. And then it gives where they went to law school, which I don't know why that matters. Perry went to University of Wisconsin. Keyes graduated from Marquette in 2009, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, And then they go, it's weird. It's like padding for this article. Like every attorney involved in this case, they give their full like CV, like where they went to college and everything. My suspicion here, because these are public defenders, so Brooks isn't paying them.
Right.
My guess is that the judge is just going to say no. No, Mr. Brooks does not get to represent himself. He's got two public defender attorneys. You're going to be his attorneys. That's it.
Yeah, I would assume he's gotten himself in enough trouble already in the courtroom that the judge isn't going to go for that. They're not going to deal with him.
Well, the other thing is they're covering up how politicized this guy is.
Yeah.
Like the outburst he had a few weeks ago that everybody was talking about where they put a brief clip of it on the news, they didn't show you everything.
Of course not.
But he was making political statements. He was accusing the court of like political repression of him because of his race. So because of that, that right there tells you everything you fucking need to know. He sees this in racial terms. He sees his crime as something. He sees what he did as something that was racial, and he sees the prosecution of him as something that is racial. He's a black activist. He's a blacktivist. He's a black. I mean, he's also a fucking criminal. These things are not mutually exclusive.
He deserves a vigorous lynching and pissing on his face. I mean, imagine all this embarrassment could be saved if he had just been like dispatched on the spot at the scene.
Or if they were just treating him as he was.
Yeah.
If he was being treated as he was, which is a racial political terrorist.
Right.
Instead of trying to cover it up. It's embarrassing for them because they're trying to cover for this guy.
Isaac, I don't think like racial activist terrorists deserve trials. I deserve just summary execution. Like on the spot, you saw everyone at that parade saw what happened. The police in pursuits, like there's no reason why he needed to be taken into custody. So now we can have this farce play out.
Yeah, this is the other thing. They're even saying, listen to this. It's saying Circuit Court's Judge Jennifer Darrow will preside over the case. It's like, again, now here's her curriculum vitae. It's like, well, I don't really care. So it says,
pardon me.
It says the trial is currently scheduled to begin October 3rd with jury selection. And they give all the charges here. The trial is expected to be lengthy. Why? Judge Darrow cleared the entire month of October for the trial. In August, prosecutors filed 32 pages worth of potential witnesses they could call a trial. You don't need that. Here's the thing. You could call 32 witnesses. You could call hundreds of witnesses. You could have every person that was struck by the car and is still alive give tear-filled testimony and relive the day. But you don't need to. It's redundant. At some point, and I learned this by watching those Andrew Branca videos, where they were talking about how they wanted to, in the prosecution of Derek Chauvin, they wanted like every person who had gathered around the scene of the thing with Floyd being on the ground, how they wanted to call like every single person. But eventually the judge said, no, like this is redundant because this person is going to say the same exact thing as the other person, right? So at some point, like when witnesses are just redundant, like if you have hundreds of witnesses to something, like you're all going to say the same basic thing. Plus, they're all going to have been coached by the attorney. And so it's just going to be the same thing. Right. So what's the point? My thing is, like, why is this trial going to take a month? Why does it even need to be slated to take a month? Like, why is this? Why this should be done in like a day, if not an hour?
Yeah.
Like Arthur Colley's trial.
It's open and shut. Yeah. Arthur Colley. That was 2 days?
Over. Yeah, I don't know how long the trial was. The jury took 2 hours to return that verdict.
I know I saw the message like closing arguments are going going on this morning. So hopefully
I don't think it was more than a day or two.
Yeah. So it was like closing arguments this morning and then the jury's gonna go, hopefully we'll have a verdict. It was like 3 hours later, oh, he's guilty.
Yeah. The verdict was like that. They said the jury deliberated 2 hours. They probably didn't even. They probably just were like, we should make it look good, I guess.
So we have some lunch before we fry this nigger.
Hey, pilot, can I get a Five Guys and then I'll return the verdict?
Yeah, right.
Oh, we're getting Five Guys for lunch? All right, cool. Let me get that nice, juicy, sauce-filled burger and then I'll say guilty. Yeah, at least that's what I would do, literally, if I was on that jury. I'd be like, let's get free lunch and then return the verdict.
It's really great, this whole like system we have for like criminal justice. That's just like, it's just wide open for just subversion and meddling. Like, you've got all this room, like you've got all this time and all this space. And all this minutiae that you can argue, that just gives the media like a ton of time to like rehabilitate somebody who's like awful, or to pillory somebody who's fine. Like, you know, it's just like the entire thing is just a sham, and I just don't want to put up with it anymore. It needs to go now. Like you could be, and this is what these kinds of things is what lends to the people that I've encountered here and there that have all this learned helplessness about them, where they think they have to just like run and hide or something, or never fight back if you come anywhere near anything like legalistic, just like, you know, buckle under right then and there, get it out of the way and move so you can move on with your life. It's like, that's because of the, it's because the system is allowed to get away with doing stuff like this, or you're allowed to like make a, I don't know, like make a media story out of a disgusting criminal, something like George Floyd, you know, like they're allowed to pretend like this was some honorable saint of American culture and life that had to be, you know, honored forever. And basically what he just was, he was like a drug addicted Neanderthal. Well, I don't mean to slander Neanderthal. He's like a drug addicted fucking gorilla.
No, he wasn't a Neanderthal.
No, he's the other way around. He's just a
he has no Neanderthal.
I was trying to evoke that he's a primitive fucking, a primitive pre-modern
drug addicted Cro-Mag.
Yeah, man, I don't even know if I want to go with Cro-Mags, but it's just like, he's just a drug addicted disgusting ape who fucking died in police custody.
I don't even want to insult apes.
Yeah, no, but because like an ape would know what to do in police custody.
Chimp.
Chimps
are the worst of the apes. Yeah. Gorillas are majestic creatures. Chimps are the fucking awful ones.
But these guys, I mean, he just like these people don't know how to react to it's police custody now. Just stop, just relax, and things will get rolling later. But it's like he dies in custody and we have to pretend that this was, you know, they get to just pick the case out and like, all right, here's the one we're going to put on TV and we're going to spin up the protest machine and watch it go burr and pretend like this is organic and pretend that this wasn't just like Jewish money going out there destroying the country.
So that's that. It says here, Brooks' defense attorneys have submitted 3 witnesses and 2 potential expert witnesses.
Oh, God.
I'm guessing that now that he has been denied the insanity argument, that those expert witnesses are probably like off the table. Like they're probably not using them. But who knows? Who the fuck knows?
Experts to say he's insane?
Yeah.
I hate that that's a stipulation. He's like, yeah, I know. He's insane. Okay.
Well, actually, no, he didn't get denied it. They dropped it. It says Brooks entered a sanity plea in June after initially pleading not guilty to charges in February. He later dropped the insanity plea on September 9th without explanation, except for saying he has his reasons, which is also like...
I just love the premise that like, oh, you're insane. Well, now we can't judge you. It's like, oh, you're a murderer. Oh, you're insane. Oh, I'm sorry. Please. No trial for you. You're not guilty. You can't. It's like, fuck that.
Yes. Well, what happened with that was that apparently some other nigger in the jail had like, because you got to remember, like, these people are really stupid. Okay. Mm-hmm. Like Daryl Brooks is really a very dumb person. Okay.
Sure.
And as are most criminal blacks. Right. Yeah. And they don't know things. And they don't really have common sense.
Mm-hmm.
So some other nigger in the jail had told him about the idea of the insanity defense. Now, you've heard of the insanity defense before. We've all heard of this idea. You can plead insane. And like, this is something that's kind of a thing people know about from crime shows or movies or whatever, right? Or just talking about these things or reading the news and stuff. But these niggas didn't know about it. He had no idea about it. So this dude tells him, like, if you are crazy, you're not guilty. Now, he doesn't understand that that also means that if you're crazy, you don't go, you go to a mental institution or something like that, theoretically, right? But so he's like, oh, shit, for real? And then this nigger's like, yeah. And apparently he gave Brooks some kind of paperwork about it, like how to do this, like how to do the insanity defense, right? Because sometimes prisoners in prison, they do have access to like a library and printers and stuff, and they can print off information and sometimes take it back to their cells. So he had given some kind of paperwork to Brooks about this, and it was in his cell. And when they did a sweep of his cell looking for stuff or whatever, mm-hmm. they found it. And his attorneys filed a motion to dismiss based on his like right to privacy or attorney-client privilege having been breached by them finding this paperwork and like turning it over to the state or whatever, and then them looking at it. And the judge ruled against them, saying like there's no right to privacy in a jail cell, mm-hmm. like it's, you know, blah, 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 all this stuff, right? And also saying this wasn't attorney-client privilege material because it wasn't a communication with his attorney.
Right.
And attorneys don't communicate with their jailed clients via paperwork. They talk on the phone and no one's allowed to listen and blah, blah, blah. Right.
Right.
So this was something he was doing on his own. And so then I guess what happened was, like, I'm assuming somehow there was an argument with his attorneys. They convinced him to withdraw this plea or withdraw the attempt to do this, because like, it's not going to work. You can't do it. So he does it. And then it seems to me that he's probably been fighting with his attorneys the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
probably because they are probably doing a thing like, here's the best we can do for you. You know, everyone saw you do this. Like, we're going to have to do this, 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 and this. And we're this, like, basically trying to actually defend him, which is, if you think about it, actually itself kind of outrageous, which would be, it's like, I would be less mad about that if we could also easily get attorneys that would be willing to vigorously defend us. But the thing is, vigorously defending Daryl Brooks doesn't kick you out of the attorneys club.
Right.
It doesn't kick you out of the exclusive club. If you vigorously defend the white nationalist, even one who has not done a violent crime or has done no crime and is purely like getting gay-opped on some bullshit, that will possibly affect your standing in the lawyer community or whatever. But in any case, it seems like, I'm sure that Daryl Brooks wants to do some stupid fucking retarded like defense of himself. He's constantly fighting with his attorneys, and he's probably a terrible client. He doesn't want to do what they tell him. He's totally uncooperative. And so at some point they're like, all right, we're out. But the judge is not going to. Here's my one Kreskin crystal silver ball prediction here is that like the judge is probably going to deny this motion and those attorneys are going to have to represent him.
Could that lead to like accusations of a mistrial? But I guess like he would have to put those motions in. He would have to put that in motion himself after the trial's over.
This is now an area I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what it is where he would have to say like I didn't get the kind of defense I wanted. But again, that doesn't have to be accepted by anybody.
No.
Ultimately, judges are the ones that will decide these things. And my guess here is the judge is not going to allow Daryl Brooks to pro se defend himself against these charges.
Yeah.
Because that will be a total fucking farce.
So,
additionally, it will expose the fact that he is a political and racial terrorist because he will make statements of that nature in court. And he is dumb enough to do it. He's already done it, and they basically covered it up. Like when he does those outbursts, it's all political fucking black shit.
It'd be cool if they just let him do it. Just let him go.
The judge lets him do it. I hope the judge approves this motion, lets these two lawyers out, Brooks can make a complete fucking farce of that trial.
Oh, you wouldn't want this trial to be a farce, right? This whole situation is not a farce in and of itself.
Right.
The idea that this guy has to be put on trial.
This fucking nigger to run his mouth in court. I want to hear what he has to say.
Yeah.
I want to hear what he has to say.
So what happened?
And the other thing that I'll guarantee you, if the prosecutors were good, and the other thing is you wonder, like, what are the prosecutors probably, again, here's the thing. They are prosecuting him for, as far as the criminal charges, like, appropriately, right? Like, all of these first-degree intentional murder, which is the worst you can get, 6 first-degree intentional murders, 6 counts of hit and run, 61 counts of first degree reckless endangerment, use of dangerous weapon, 2 counts of bail jumping, and here we got 2 counts of battery domestic abuse. I'm wondering if they're trying to like somehow like affirm this domestic abuse knife incident narrative, right?
Oh, right.
But here's the thing, which is again bullshit, total bullshit. Certainly the knife incident is total bullshit, but if there was some incident that happened where he like beat someone up at a home prior to getting in the SUV and mowing down the people at the parade, that to me is not a mitigating factor in any way, shape, or form.
This is supposed to be like the whole point of that was to try to imply that he was being chased by the police, and this makes everything that he did like not his fault. It's like, no, fuck you.
So if he like beat up his mom at the house or something like that, and then went and did this, like that to me. Like the fact that because they always bring up this so-called domestic abuse or this other incident that he was involved in prior, they always bring this up as a way as if it somehow mitigates the parade attack itself. But if in fact he did just like beat people up in his house or in a house that he was at, like his girlfriend or his mom or something like that, that doesn't mitigate shit.
Yeah, under non-nigger circumstances, under absent any of these political ramifications, if you're being chased by police. Like, that's worse for you. If the outcome of you're being chased and you drive into a fucking parade route and run, like, 80 people over, they don't give you a pass because the police were chasing you and that's scary. Instead of pulling over and complying with the police's orders, you ran a bunch of people over and killed them. Like, you're in, like, double trouble now. That's like, you're in the highway safety corridor and your fines are fucking doubled because you're in the safety corridor being unsafe. You know, it's like that kind of shit. It's like not.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's twisted upside down. For niggers.
This is why people think that like niggers run the country, because that's such a stupid like backwards. You're supposed to put that out in the media, and that makes them go, "Oh, well, the police were just harassing." It's like, well, no, it was. You know, if that's true, you stop. This is why you don't lead police on chases, because you drive into a parade. And then that didn't happen anyway. But that was the narrative they're trying to put out there, because it's just kind of. Because that's what works on, like, the fucking dumbass, like, fentanyl and Twinkies American, the McDonald's eating surrender monkey, as I call them. It's like a nigger's allowed to do whatever he wants, like, when a police officer is chasing him because he did a crime.
Yeah, I mean, that is, like, sort of true. What is it? People use these words, like, de jure, de novo, de facto. I don't know what really they all mean, but I'm saying, like, it's true. I guess de facto, I understand. Sort of that is de facto true, but it's not like it's not like written down anywhere. It's just like that's actually how it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have to be that way.
Mm.
And the real reason that niggers get away with everything is just because like Jews have a race narrative that disempowers whites, and in order to keep that going, this is how they have to do it, right? Like, because if they did, because it's all in service of the Jewish anti-white racial narrative,
right?
And like I said, it's not even because they love niggers, because they probably don't. I'm sure that like
no niggers Darryl are great. Brooks,
they don't care one way or the other, but they just don't want it to. They don't want it to be revealed that it's political, because that would empower white people.
Yeah, the niggers are great to get tangled up with, as far as they're concerned. We get the whites tangled up with these blacks, and we can all constantly have. You constantly have like actual cases where you can be throwing whites in jail for ridiculous shit, but you also have like the chilling effect on relations between people. You have the cultural shifts and the shift in the unwritten rules and how you treat people, where you suddenly can't act on, you know, acting on your preferences is illegal, and you can be canceled. You know, it's just, it's a system.
Here we go. Get this.
Okay.
So here they're adding some clarity to the supposed domestic abuse incident. Christmas parade attack. Prosecutors say on November 21st, 2021, Brooks met up with his ex-girlfriend in Frame Park, the same woman he is accused of running over with his red SUV earlier in November. She told police they argued in his SUV before he started driving, and he was driving around with one hand and striking her in the face with his other hand. She eventually got out and called her friends for help. Soon after that, Brooks drove the red SUV through the parade route, killing all these people. Okay, so... again, remember that article in the Wisconsin Examiner that was like basically saying how, oh, we were exploiting this case for mm-hmm. politics or whatever? Mm-hmm. Again, they use the phrase fleeing a previous domestic incident, right?
Right.
So this to me, like we were just saying, like none of this mitigates anything. It just means this guy's just a violent fucking lunatic. Like, he's just
he's a violent lunatic.
But again, you can't say that he's such a violent lunatic to the point where this wasn't intentional. Like, it's like, oh, I beat my girlfriend, then I accidentally, like, because I was in such a red fog of rage. No, that's because they'll go with that too.
That's ultimately, what
they'll go with that. That, but it's like that, no, like, that's not what you did. No. That had nothing to do with, like, you got so angry about that now you did this, particularly when he's making political statements in court. Like, fuck that.
Maybe she knew he was going to do it, and he was trying to beat her and shut her up.
Yeah, no.
Why don't we make?
She might have told him. She might have tried to stop him from doing.
Why don't we make things up?
She might have said, "Don't do that."
We could make up mitigating factors as well. Let's make him worse. She was trying to stop him.
I mean, we could just invent stories too, right? Yeah. Like,
there's not actually
this is not out of the realm of possibility that she was possibly telling him, don't do that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? You know, you never know, right? The idea that
that's actually
fucking likely, frankly. I think that's fucking likely. She'll never say it. She'll never tell you that.
I don't know. Well, that's not even true. I was going to say she would be sort of like a conservative folk here, but conservatives don't want anything to do with this being a race issue, so that's actually totally wrong. She would have actually no friends if she did that. Maybe Ock Nation would like her.
If she blew the whistle
that Darryl Brooks was actually doing a racially motivated attack and that she knew about it and was trying to stop him, she would have no friends after saying that because the conservatives.
She might
don't
not
want
even
that.
Think about it in terms of like racial motivation or not, but it just might be like, don't go kill a bunch
he was
of
mad about he was
like
mad
that.
About Rittenhouse, and this was going to be his revenge because it's like, okay, the Rittenhouse events the Rittenhouse verdict happens, and this is obviously an event that's been scheduled in advance for. I mean, it's an annual parade, right? So he's like, mm-hmm. no, like that's where I'm going to go. That's where I'm going to do it. That's where I'm going to get back for all the niggers that Kyle Rittenhouse shot in the street, right? He's going to go do that. And she probably knew, and he probably shot his mouth off about it, because that's what niggers do. They flex and they peacock.
The other thing is, why the fuck is he in frame? Why is he meeting this broad in Frame Park? He lives in Milwaukee. He lives 40 miles. He lives 40 minutes away.
I don't remember what Frame Park is.
Frame is a park in Waukesha. Frame Park is in Waukesha.
Is that the one near the river?
Yeah, that's exactly. That's that one, yeah.
Okay, so that's where they were trying to respond to a fist fight.
Well, so possibly that this is why when the police were told there was a fight
in the park,
that there was that when they got there was nothing because it was in the car and the car drove away. But the thing is, remember the whole thing about the knife fight and all that shit, right?
Yeah, that
was
yeah.
The report. We've heard all the police audio, the report of the knife fight, and then the police being like, "There's no evidence
there's
of any
going on
knife
here.
Fight."
Yeah.
And so I don't know where this knife fight shit came in. You know, who knows? Things get messed up in communications. It could be that maybe somebody said something. They saw this nigger beating this woman in a car, and they said something, and then they drove off. Who knows?
I believe knife fight was a media fabrication. I know that there was two niggers on the street that were told a cop on foot that there was an altercation in that park. But we surmise the time that these might be accomplices of his revolt.
That was something we thought, but I don't really think so anymore. But I'll have to go fact check ourselves on this because I could be misremembering, but I think, and we can have fact check this, or people in the comments can
they
fact
might have
check
reported
us.
A knife. I don't remember.
I think the report to the person who gave a on foot like walked up to a cop and told them about it. I think they might have said knife fight. I'm not sure.
It's possible
because I vaguely remember the police officer saying, "There's no blood. There's no nothing here. There's nothing here."
Hmm. Okay.
There's no people. There's no evidence of a fight. There's no. So
it's been too long. But the
could
point
be
of
inventing that in my mind, I have to go back and look.
The point of all that was, I mean, if that wasn't just like a diversion, the point of all that was, Daryl Brooks was not fleeing from police. Wasn't fleeing anybody. He just was of his own recognizance, driving into that parade and driving and running those people over. There was nothing that makes it better.
This claim doesn't mitigate it. Like,
no, it makes
they
it worse.
They want to use the previous incident as some kind of mitigating circumstance, as if he didn't know what he was doing when he did it, right? As if he was just like wildly running from some other thing. And that just doesn't fucking apply.
Right.
It doesn't. This thing where he beat his girlfriend in the car prior, it doesn't mitigate anything.
Mm-hmm.
It does not in any way.
No.
I mean, if you're saying, unless you're saying like, okay, so he punched his broad and then he was so upset he had to go like run over. It's like, no. And that doesn't even, it also doesn't make it better.
No.
I mean, here's the thing though, but they don't care about making it better for him. They're willing to actually portray him. Actually, they're willing to portray him as like a completely insensate, violent lunatic. In order to remove any possibility of intentionality, remember what they want to do more than anything is remove any racial political intentionality from this.
Mm-hmm.
So they are willing to say this dude, they're willing to actually essentially portray him without using the words as a completely lunatic, violent ape that just went off and couldn't be controlled. They're willing to do that.
Right.
And in fact, that's what they probably, I think that's actually what they want to do and what they're going to have to do. And so the implication there is the altercation with his girlfriend put him in like the red rage where he just went and did and like, no, I don't buy it. I don't buy it. I don't buy it because this was a very, very specific place that he went to. Right. He was a very specific.
Right.
He was already in Waukesha, which he didn't belong there. He lived 40 minutes away in Milwaukee. Why the fuck was he there?
Right.
Then he's fighting with his girl. And then he does it. So no, it's bullshit. None of this mitigates shit. Like, he was obviously he meant to do it. He was there to do it. That's why he was in Waukesha, and he went and he did it. The fight with the girlfriend doesn't mitigate shit. Fuck that. And so you know,
The fight with the girlfriend is just more evidence that he's a violent, insane nigger. But
like I said,
that he saw not insane. He's just a violent nigger. He has a problem. He solves it with violence. That's what he do.
Yeah,
and he needs to be held accountable for that. So he sees white.
To say,
he says white people be a problem. So I'm going to run a bunch of them over.
Right, right. The issue is the racial intentionality of it. Like him beating his girlfriend does not remove from him the fact that he ran into those people because they were white.
No,
and that he was doing it. So obviously, there's a level of this guy is not. You know, he's probably a fucking psycho, but that doesn't mean he's not doing it on purpose.
Well,
right?
He's just a nigger. Remember, like, there's, like, psychosis and being a nigger are nearly identical in a lot of ways.
Overlapping. There's a Venn diagram with very little room on the edges.
And it's unfair to everybody else in the country to, like, treat niggers just as they're suffering from psychosis. It's like, no, they're just being niggers, and when they do crimes, you punish them for it, you ignore the psychosis, because that's just who they are. You know, it's like the niggers that, like, it's like the thing with the National Football League with, like, concussions. It's like, what's your evidence that concussions is making niggers stupid? Like, they were stupid when they got there, and they're just like, and they're ignoring, like, the IQ differences between, like, white players and black players. Like, concussions.
They actually weren't.
Yeah.
Which is funny.
Well, that
and
became.
They found out that they weren't, that they actually had this sliding.
Now they do. Well, but I mean, they stopped doing that. That was my thing. Like, they had to stop doing that and just pretend that, like, concussions are making these people, these blacks, retarded. It's like, no.
My other thing is like this. Okay, if we have a definition of like psychotic or something like that, or whatever it might be, we have like a threshold, a definition for this that we use.
Yeah.
And like niggers just fall on the other side of that.
Yeah.
So be it. I'm willing to accept that too. My only thing is then the state has to behave as if that's true. It is now, now we've discovered this. So we have this idea of this is where a person's behavior is considered like so antisocial, it's intolerable. They're a psychotic or whatever.
Right.
Fine. If blacks just disproportionately or even like in the majority, if like the mode nigga is like falling on the other side of that, so be it. All I ask is that state policy reflect that.
Yeah.
Right? Instead of saying because the fact that blacks fall on the other side of this definition of what is what we consider unacceptable propensity for violence or something like that, right? That we now have to change our standards. That's what's unacceptable.
Yeah, we'd have to. I mean,
we have to have two standards.
We'd have
something like that.
We'd have to take over the state in order to enact that because these Jews are not going to do that.
No, they're not going to do it.
No Republicans going to do that. It's just not going to happen.
That's my point. It's like in terms of like definitions of what these things are, or whatever. Like that's all fluid and can be changed according to where people decide to choose the threshold.
That's what's so funny about this political system is like it's like the people who run it can't define man and woman anymore, and they can't define nigger. And they won't hold a nigger accountable. And it's like, and you still want to participate with it. You still want to.
Well, the funny thing
is, not even on, like, rectifying that situation is not on the menu, boys.
Well, the funny thing is like, they kind of can define nigger, but just in a roundabout way. It's like, what's a nigger? Well, the nigger is someone that gets to kill people.
Yeah. Yeah, they only define a nigger in as much as, like, all right, this is a guy we have to let off.
Well, it's like that whole thing of like when people try and play these definitional word games with us, like, you're always going to lose with that. Like, back in Auburn, remember when that girl was asking me about that, and I was like, you go ask a black person that. Now, there was even more cleverness, there was even more cleverness I could have done. Because I could be like, how'd you know that guy was black?
Yeah.
Like, when you picked a black person to ask that question of, how did you know they were black?
Right.
Like, I could have done all this stuff. And then even the better staircase wit for that was like, well, if you don't know what a white person is, go up to the admissions department of this university, and they'll tell you because it's the people that they exclude.
Right.
So, like, you know, it's like, again, they're always coming at us with this. It's like we are being defined essentially out of existence.
Yeah.
But the thing is, they know what to define. It's like in order to do that, you have to know what your target is. So, like, you can discover by looking at what they're doing. You just, like, work backwards. You can find – you see all the racial categories suddenly, like, pop out very brightly and clearly what they are. It's like, what's a white person? Well, a white person is somebody that is selected against an affirmative action hiring. if you just need any – I mean, straight up, if you want – like, that's a person that's white. So – because if you're telling me the system doesn't know what a white person is, then I would expect – that actual white people would suddenly start filling up all these top spots because they wouldn't be able to tell if someone's whiter.
Yeah. You'd be like, right?
So yeah, like, no, it's
you'd like a stealth. You'd be like stealth whitey be taking this country back.
Yeah. 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 I mean, this is not, and Ken Burns, like, there's only one race, the human race. It's like, shut up, Ken.
Oh my God. Can we watch Ken Burns again?
We probably can.
We only got 11. We only got 11 minutes into the talk. Well, it doesn't matter, though, because
we're probably not going to be able to get much further.
Well, we're not going to be able to upload the video anyway, so.
We'll be able to upload the video eventually.
How's prep doing?
We're still very slow. Still but again, the pipe could have cleared up, and this one is still just on a slow pace.
Oh, that pipe is clogged.
We'll see. Well, look, everyone made fun of that one dude from Alaska for talking about pipes and tubes and shit. Like, I was always like, dude, this guy's not actually wrong. It is actually a series of tubes. That is legitimately, that is a very,
fiber optics.
There's nothing wrong.
Fiber optic is a tube that light goes through, right?
Well, fiber optic is a tube, but fucking, frankly, any electrical wire, any cabling, you could
use. Yeah, but a fiber optic.
That was another one of those things where, like, the guy was a conservative, so libtards were, like, got a little bit too clever for their own britches, and they started, like, making fun of him, like, immediately just because he was a conservative. It's like, the tube is a perfectly good metaphor for the internet. Fuck you.
Well, fiber optic. Nothing wrong with it. Well, it's different from life. Is a fiber optic actually, like, hollow through? Like, because I know, like, with ADAT digital audio, light pipe is literally hollow. It's a tube that fucking infrared or I don't know red light shines through, and that sends multi-track audio through. I can use that in surround sound or ADAT digital audio. So it's actually a tube.
But again, it's also the other thing where he said if it gets clogged, what is a DDoS attack other than clogging?
Clogging.
It's just clogging tubes. There's nothing wrong with that. It's probably good metaphors. The guy didn't say anything wrong.
Nope.
He probably was a complete moron in other respects, but he was right about that. It's not a very difficult thing to be right about. It was like, oh, it's tubes. Oh, what a moron. I'm like, no, dude, it's literally tubes. Like, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know why this is, of all things.
I've never even seen, like, the original. I just know the resulting.
Oh, I heard it. I heard him say it. It was like, he actually said something funny. He's like, it's not like a truck where you can just dump anything on it. Like it's tubes, and if they get clogged, it starts going slower. And I'm like, yes, exactly right. Just like your toilet, just like the drain, just like everything, you know.
So what are we going to do now? I only have two notes: a niggerous defense and the mode nigga. That's what else are we going to put?
So, I don't know. That's Waukesha. We're going to see what goes on with that whole thing up there. It's going to be kind of crazy. I find it insane that they're planning on taking I looked at the docket and yeah, they did a whole month of October is like cleared out for this fucking thing. It's probably not going to take that long, but God knows how long fucking jury selection will take. Jesus Christ. That probably will be the most grueling part of the whole thing. That could probably take 2 fucking weeks, but imagine going through this much effort for this fucking shit. This nigger is guilty, and he's guilty of a hate crime. He's guilty of a race hate crime. I don't fucking care about that. Now, here's the other thing I wanted to do. I gotta find the link to it. I want to play the audio of those fucking Fargo radio hosts in reaction to that kid getting killed the other day.
Oh, did you see what Jack Posobiec did?
Yes. What the fuck?
Holy shit.
I'm like, dude, you realize this kid has a mom?
This fucking...
Like, I wanted to say that to Jack. Like, do you understand? Like, this kid has a mom, dude. What are you doing? Like, that... What is wrong with this guy's brain?
Why is everyone insane?
How could you not think twice about doing something like that?
This is the fucking internet has broken people. It's broken people's brains.
It's like, what level of, like, fucking... What level of, like, what is it? What level of, like, alienated disconnection from normal, like, actual human beings are you where this kid is dead? Now, you should be talking about it.
You want to talk about
it. Think about it. But instead you make a funny graphic where you make his picture, like, talk? What does his mom think? What do you think his mother, who has just lost her 18-year-old son, if she saw that, what would her reaction be?
Libtard owned?
No, she would probably lose her shit.
That's what he's going for, right? Libtard owned.
But it's I the first thing when I saw, as soon as I saw it, I didn't even watch more than 2 seconds of it before I was like, this dude is fucked up. The first thing I thought of was what this kid's poor mother. Can you imagine if she ran across this on the internet and saw it? She would probably lose it. She would probably lose it. Can you first of all, I can't even imagine. And there's been no focus on this. Has anybody asked? Has there been a human interest story going to this mother? Can you imagine losing your 18-year-old child, literally in the prime of his life, set to go, set off on like his journey as an adult and like whatever, all that crap, right? But seriously, he's about to be a grown man, and And so, like, his mom is like raised him all these years, and now, boom, he's gone. And like, and now this fucking idiot, instead of doing anything useful, is just doing like funny gifts with his dead guy's picture. What the fuck is wrong with these people? Like, there's something seriously wrong with that guy. You know, and we people say there's fucking something wrong with us. Are you fucking kidding me? Like, what kind of level of like not in the real world? Like, I don't know, dude.
I was talking about that
with Tony this morning, and he was just like,
I have never felt the need to, like, I want to deep fake the victim of this crime here.
You mean deep fake the victim of a murder? And but again, it's just like, you don't need that to advocate for this kid either. Why don't you, instead of doing that, why aren't you demanding that, like, Republican politicians? And so now we've gotten a few Republicans at the state level in North Dakota have decried non-specific political violence. Okay, great. Why don't you make it very specific?
Well, no.
And why don't you call people out? This should go all the way up the chain.
Because this is what the setup is. Republicans can't call out enemy political violence. They have to call out everyone doing anything. Otherwise, they feel like they don't have a leg to stand on. They have to make sure their principles keep them losing forevermore. It's like, it's not going to be like, we're not going to, like, it's like, you know, we don't like any kind of political violence, including January 6th. You know, they can condemn everybody. They can condemn this libtard killer, and they can condemn the people that attacked our democracy on January 6th at the Capitol. It's like they can always be losing.
Yep.
Because God forbid, if they said the left is out of control, the political violence from the left is out of control, they're like, well, what about you people on January 6th? I guess you're right. I guess we should stop all political violence. I'm not up for that fight.
I just don't care. Like,
they should deep fake some January 6th people, like, not being in jail. Maybe they'll feel better. Like, why don't you
fake an attorney for a January 6th?
Yeah, person. You should deep fake an attorney for, like, QAnon shaman or whatever.
So here's some audio now.
I got this... it. Donald Trump should deep fake some pardons for those people.
Yeah. Now, Teft sent me this audio clip. It's on Odyssey. It doesn't have very many views, and I suspect that's because the day I posted this, Odyssey just wasn't working very well. Let's see if it works now. Hopefully it works. If it doesn't work, that sucks. But
all right, let me see.
Let me see if I can just download it.
Are my pipes open? My pipes aren't working.
I'm downloading it. Any case, so let's see. Show.
Well, stand by to win some stuff. Donuts, line one.
Okay, the pipes are working. You just he had
pipes are working here.
Odyssey's there's like 12 right. seconds of pre-roll. It was blank.
Yeah.
All right.
If the pipes stop working, I've downloaded.
I know I've got to fix. I've got to fix this pipe though. I've got to fix.
The audio is kind of irrelevant.
There's the video pipe.
Yeah, but this is. I guess he grabbed it from this website.
Yeah.
Need to know morning show. Hello.
This is Bill in Moorhead. Hey, hello. I heard something on the news this morning. I think it was in North Dakota. This guy claimed someone was some young kid was some Republican extremist, and he ran him down in his car and killed him. And I just thought that's kind of ironic. Who's really the extremist?
Huh.
And I think the audience should kind of, like, you know,
they should deepfake a spine for Republicans. That's what they should deepfake.
I hear that a little better.
Wow.
They just kind of.
I didn't see that story.
It, you know?
Yeah, did they?
Geez, I don't know. I haven't seen it.
Here's what I'll say. First of all, I can understand why, if these radio hosts hadn't heard of that story or seen it themselves, they would be a little skeptical of this claim, right? However, the very fact that they hadn't heard of it itself is pretty damning.
Yeah.
Because this is in their area. This is apparently a Fargo area radio show.
Yeah.
Moorhead is in Minnesota. It's right across the state.
Seems to me that as a talk show host in that area, you would have seen this on the news.
First of all, but even so, like, even it should be blasted. Even if even if they're not going and digging it up, like, it should be blasted across the media so much that they can't miss it. But it's been the reporting on it has been very, very minimal.
Well,
if you
run a conservative talk show.
There's
and that
no excuse. For
and
you
that
not to
well,
know about
well,
it,
that yeah. if that story is not getting, it should be your job to be blowing that story up because this is one of your faithful conservatives that was murdered in the street by a libtard. Like, why are you complicit in trying to, like, downplay this and make it not a big... And we'll see what they say.
So then once they verify it, then their reactions get really interesting.
So should I skip ahead to when it's after? Because they play...
No, it's probably on the internet or something.
Yeah, I'm looking. I have... Don't see it.
I can't find it.
They just hit real short, you know.
You know the how dare the these people want to put America first? How dare we want our interests to come first?
And then, so they call them the extremists and they kill them.
That is a problem with the FBI and the white ring wing extremists.
Yeah.
The Trump MAGA people are extreme.
Who was the guy that showed up at Brett Kavanaugh's house with a Glock, wanted to kill a Supreme Court
justice? California crazy guy.
Yeah, some Bernie buddy. What about the guy that shot up the baseball game? Those are actually
Bernie buddy.
Kind of
all right, Bill, we'll check it out, man. Thanks for the call.
All right. But thank you.
Listen to how these people are just spinning their wheels, and they're all are these supposed to be professional radio announcers? Like, they sound like fucking retards.
Well, the hole won't shut up. She keeps, guys.
All right, let's give away some donuts here. Sandy's, not just donuts.
Donuts.
They're Sandy's donuts. Line one. Oh, we got another call. I need to know morning show. Who's this?
This is Aaron.
Aaron, what's up?
The guy that called in, it happened in McHenry on Saturday night after a, street dance. McHenry's by New Rockford. A guy ran over a young man.
Because he thought he was an extremist?
Apparently they had gotten into an argument at the street dance, and that's what it said on the news last night. I don't know which channel. I think I was watching WDAY.
Okay. Wow.
So, anyway, they're reported. Yeah.
Even in North Dakota, you know, we're not safe from this stuff here either.
Oh,
it's
my
just
God.
Nuts what's going on out there.
We've moved so far away. Like, why is it still happening?
Look, we're up here in the remote icy north, and we can't get away from this.
America keeps happening.
And I wouldn't, and the implication being, like, if you could, you wouldn't care. Like, fuck you. Like, that's, I can't stand that response either. And I've recently been taken to, like, calling, because it's a very ingrained boomer response.
They
still
don't care, though,
where I am.
Let me stop you. Like, they still don't care. Like, even though it's happened where they are, like, where they go with this, their response to this is still, we're not safe at Cambridge, but can we go back, can we just pretend that it's not happening? That it's not happening.
Whenever I hear boomers do that, like, where I am, that's not happening, or it's not like that where I am, or something. First of all, I don't believe them, but I don't bother to say that. Like, you're usually wrong about that. It is like that where you are.
Right.
At least there's no mechanism to keep, even if it isn't like that where you are, there is no mechanism right now to keep where you are like that.
Right.
Okay. But secondly, but I don't even bother making that argument, because that will reinforce their selfishness. What I say is, but what about other people?
Mm-hmm.
And then that actually makes them feel some shame. Mm-hmm. But they still probably are like, want to just be in their little bubble and actually probably don't care to some extent. But you can't really say that. You can't really say that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you should immediately, instead of trying to, this is my thing. Instead, when you run into this, audience members, when you run into this, when you're talking to people in your family or people that you know about this stuff, and you get that typical reaction, instead of trying to convince them it is coming to where you are, simply actually challenge them on the fact, but don't you care about others? Don't you care about the country as a whole and other people who are going to have to suffer with this? Well, you might be safe in your little enclave, or at least you think you are, but other people are suffering. And if it does, eventually, by the time it does get to your enclave, then you're really in some shit, because then there's not going to be any ability to fight back. So shouldn't you care about others? And that's going to cause some wires to cross. But I would say never appeal to their, I actually would say, like, seriously, don't appeal to their personal self-interest, because you need to get them out of that frame of mind. Appeal to their higher sense of, like, the other people matter too.
Let's listen to them go into denial now.
Well,
this is the worst thing.
The hard thing is avoiding the argument, avoiding the anger.
Just don't have arguments.
You know, avoiding the getting PO'd. You know, I mean, you can't. Anger is the enemy. Anger, you know, and you have to, it's like kill with kindness, finish him with.
So is the enemy the anger of the guy that murdered the good kid? Like, is that so you're saying that the victim participated in his own demise? Like, well, that's the cope here. It's like you shouldn't be so you're running your conservative morning radio show where you try to spread the word of conservatism But don't spread the word of conservatism because anger is the enemy and you'll make the libtards angry. When the libtards get angry, they murder you, and then it's your fault for making them angry. Is this North Dakota nice? Nice.
With facts.
North Dakota.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Jimmy Fallon said, when they don't have the facts, they pound the table.
Well,
they don't have the,
pound the table.
You know, when you have the facts, you pound the facts.
And there's just no use in arguing with some of these people.
That's right.
Either.
I won't get into an argument.
Just say, hey, man, okay, we'll walk away.
Yeah, I'm more of a... Can I ask you a question, though?
He was, yes, he was being chased. He tried walking away, but the man had a car. So then he was running away, and then eventually he ran into an alley. He probably thought the car wouldn't fit into the alley. But no, he brought the car in the alley and ran him over. So walking away didn't work because he had a faster means of conveyance than this young man's feet.
He was running.
Yes.
You know me.
Mm.
Can I ask you a couple questions about, and then just go from there. You know, just tell me, to me what's great about what's
happening. Are they suggesting that there's some way this kid could have argued that would have prevented this?
Well, no, he's just like street danced his way home without having the don't have. I mean, God knows what this drunken 40-something-year-old said to this Zoomer to start the argument. I mean, God knows what happened.
We'll never know. Because
basically,
no one wants
the way I look at it is this guy ran over this kid. He's at fault for the entire thing. Like, there is
100%. Even if the kid started the argument with him.
I don't care.
It's still just a political argument.
He's supposed to be a grown man. You're not supposed to run people down with your car.
That's what's even more inexcusable
about it. A grown white man. You're a grown... And you know who gets to walk away? He gets to walk away from jail.
He walked out of fucking jail. 50 grand bond. That just shows you everything you need to know. But let's keep going with these fucking
happening.
Time and place, though, when you're out drinking at
a
street dance.
Point,
I mean, that's
the best
just
point.
Yep. Not the time and place.
That is the best point.
You know,
point.
It's just not the place for that discussion.
At the street.
Maybe, you know, when the best point, you know, maybe after, like, one of your constituents is dead, maybe that's the best time to, like, defend him? Instead of throwing him under the bus? Don't
want
to
hear this again. I want to go back a little bit. I just want to let them, without us interrupting, so
all
people
right.
can get the full flavor
all right. let me,
of exactly
I'm
how
going,
conservatives are.
I'm going back like a whole minute then. Hang on.
That's what it said on the news last
night.
I don't know which channel. I think I was watching WDAY.
Okay. Wow.
Anyway,
all
right. They're recorded. Yeah.
Even right. in North
Thanks,
Dakota,
man.
You know, we're not safe from this stuff here either. It's just nuts what's going on out there.
Well, and the hard thing is avoiding the argument, avoiding the anger, you know, avoiding the getting PO'd. You know, I mean, you can't. Anger is the enemy. Anger, you know, and you have to, it's like kill with kindness,
well,
finish him with facts.
Yeah.
You know, it's like Jimmy Fallon said, when they don't have the facts, they pound the table. When they when you have the facts, you pound the facts.
And there's just no use in arguing with some of these people.
That's right.
Either.
I won't get into an argument.
Just say, hey, man, okay, we'll walk away.
Yeah.
I'm more
angry.
Can I ask you a question, though? You know me.
Mm.
Can I ask you a couple questions about, and then just go from there. You know, just tell me,
but,
explain
you know,
to me what's great about what's happening at the border.
Time and place, though, when you're out drinking at
that's
a street
a great
dance,
point
I mean,
there.
That's
the best
just
point.
Yep. Not... the time and place.
That is the best point.
You know,
there.
It's just not the place for that discussion.
At the street dance. Yeah,
after
good point.
You've had, you know,
key.
12.
Yeah.
It's just not cool.
Enjoying our Moxie job.
So are they accusing the 18-year-old of publicly drinking underage? And it's like, I don't understand the whole thing.
This morning, official coffee of the Need to Know Morning.
I mean...
No one should have to be afraid to speak. I mean, this is, I guess, Tef put this in. No one
yes.
should have to be afraid to speak what they believe in. That's absolutely
yeah, that's,
true.
Yeah, that's what he. Yeah, that's.
I just hate. I hate.
It's like
the
it's
entire
fucking, like the
entire lecture. It seems to be like aimed at the victim.
Yes, it seems to be. Because how about like
who was drunk?
Don't have
the killer.
Don't kill people.
How about don't kill people?
Don't kill an 18-year-old kid that disagrees with your politics. How about that? I mean, like, why not? Why? Yeah, the lecture. It seems to be as if they assume. They assume that the sort of the instigator was the right wing kid, and that then saying like he was giving him advice on how he should have argued, and then she's like, no, just don't even do it, and particularly not. And then she says after you've had like 12, I'm like, what are you fuck? Are you kidding me? Well, you think this kid had what 12 beers or something? I doubt it.
I think the killer did.
The guy that
Shannon,
killed him,
whatever his
right?
name,
knows?
Has had a bunch
but it
of beers.
It's like. It's like, who are you talking to? What are you talking about?
No, they don't make it clear because they are talking to the victim. They are trying to give
no,
advice.
They are essentially
because they are trying
talking
to they are trying to tell their audience to like just like you can my conservative audience, keep your mouths shut if you want
yes.
if you know what's good for you.
Yes, and of course, it's like the time or place. It's like, well, what is the right time or place?
There is none, and they'll never defend you for doing so. That's the loud and clear message here. They're like, there is not a time.
And the most amazing thing about this, is that the Republican Party could make this totally partisan political. They wouldn't have to mention race once.
That's what I think. That's what I was thinking. Like, this thing is a perfect setup to make political violence non-racial for them to come out and stuff. To do an op like that is like, here we have a chance to say the left is being violent and violence has to stop. And this could be like,
this is a libtard that is actually somebody who this is stochastic terrorism.
Yeah,
this is a libtard so incited by the shit that he's hearing, like the Biden speech and the extremists are killing democracy. So incited by that stuff, he killed an 18-year-old kid.
Don't get angry.
And he said Republican extremist. Mm-hmm. So that's the level he's working on. This guy's probably an MSNBC viewer. And he's working on that level.
Didn't call
and
him
he still murdered somebody.
Didn't call him a white supremacist. Didn't allege that he was a Nazi or anything. Just called him a Republican extremist, which means J6. It means a number of things that are within the acceptable fucking blah to be discussed in the media
doing anything.
No, they're still not.
They're still not doing it. They're just crazy. They could do a non-racial thing and they're not doing it.
Right.
Because it's, you know why? It's because it's not what their Jew handlers want them doing.
Right.
Period. That's all it is.
Even though
it's not on the table.
That was the first thing I saw in the angle. It was like, oh, they could use this as like you could push back against political violence without it being racial, because it's two white dudes. Like, you don't have to pretend that the system's railroading a nigger who killed a white kid. It's just like, oh, you got two white guys, one's a libtard and one is a. But instead, they're going to go with the insane angle of like, all right, we got to get this libtard out of trouble here.
You're just going with this is why you don't. This is why the anger level just needs to come down. You shouldn't be arguing with people in the street. It's like,
I mean, maybe the outcome would be different if this radio show was like a call to arms to its audience. But how could this happen?
This is outrageous.
How could
everybody call your fucking congressperson? Everybody everybody make a big stink about it.
Call whoever in town that's running the fucking.
Call the media for not covering it.
Yeah.
Call every freaking politician and ask them to complain
call
about
the mayor
it and
the
tell
city.
Them you want hate crime charges.
Yeah.
You know, call your senators, your state senators, and then make sure the party casts blame for this from all the way up from the media to Joe Biden, all the way up the chain.
Mm-hmm.
And like they should be calling fucking congressional. They should be demanding like congressional hearings where they bring in like Democrats that have been going off on like how extreme and big and dangerous Republicans are. And have them sit in front and have to answer questions to the congressional committee. But they're not doing any of that.
Have hearings on stochastic terror.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, and the reason they're not doing it is because that is just not in the script for them.
No.
It's not in their script. It's not. They are like, this is an inconvenience to them. Like, we are busy trying to get Ron DeSantis elected so that he can do everything for Israel and billionaires and possibly even escalate the war against Russia. And this is an annoyance. This could get in the way of that. This could create problems. We're just going to let that go because it doesn't matter. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm.
And there's an element of this really pussy, non-aggressive tack that they're taking. Like, I don't know. Like, you can hear their Minnesota, North Dakota accents.
Yeah.
And you want to almost like cast blame on that. But then, you know, I was in North Dakota and there's plenty of good people up there too. So it's not just that. But there is some element of like North Dakota cluelessness. Like, I can't believe this is happening here. But I'm just like, look, you're going to have to fucking believe it. You're going to have to start believing it. Like,
I cannot imagine reacting to that story locally with anything but rage.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not from that community. I don't know any of the people there, but it's just like if you're going to tell me tomorrow that I was going to see a report of like a teenager was run over by a crazed libtard around here, like, don't get in arguments, kids. I mean, what the fuck?
What a crazy. And they don't. The funny thing is, they don't even know what happened. They don't actually even know what happened. Maybe the kid wasn't even. Maybe he was just being a. Maybe the guy just ran up to him like, "I know you. You're like you're a Margatard. I hate you." And just
it could very well be
that could have happened. Maybe the kid didn't do anything at all.
It's entirely possible.
Other than go out to the street fair.
Like that kid has like there were a lot of there were photos of him like dressed up and stuff and obviously doing like college Republican type deal or
yeah.
Whatever. So maybe the guy it could be that the guy just recognized him. Hey, you're one of those MAGA-tards. I'll tell you what, you're not going to attack our democracy anymore. Let me go get my car.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, it could very well be that this
you
drunken...
You have no idea that's not what happened. And the thing is, we don't know either because no one's investigated.
No.
Where are the reporters going to this community to interview the people? Because obviously there's some witnesses at least to their
Did
flight.
Anybody see anything?
I want to know.
Anybody see anything? If you see something, say something.
They were at a party, a street party, a street dance or whatever street it might dance. Be. Presumably, the argument, the altercation that happened, there were plenty of witnesses.
Yeah.
Now, none of the witnesses back up this fucking libtard story that this kid was like calling out a posse against him or something like that.
No
one backs that up. I want to know, and I'm sure police are doing interviews. They are. But like, why no reporters are going down there to find, oh, were you at that street fair? Did you see what happened? Can you tell me anybody that did see what happened? Maybe I can go ask them. And asking people, what the fuck happened here? And they just dropped it. The media has now just dropped this.
Yeah.
They have just dropped it. Like, presumably this kid was there with his friends. We got pictures of him with him in that three-piece suit, and he's doing like and the kids are holding him.
Yeah.
Who was in that picture? Who are those kids? Were they there? Were they at the party with him? Probably. I would guess so. I would assume 18-year-old kids, they go to a party together. What did they see? Why is no reporter asking them this? What's going on? I don't know, dude. It's fucking ridiculous. Or it's ridiculous. But yeah, and it's just like, I can't even, they won't even, it's like, forget about white people. They won't even stand up for them. Like, just people that are just Republicans, you know? And the best, it's like the Republican, but like, hey, young Republican kid, presumably let's say that's what he was just like literally murdered in cold blood by a libtard. Like, can we get some kind of like condemnation for political terrorism, some kind of attacks on the establishment for doing this, and demands for like federal charges and FBI investigations and congressional hearings? Best I can do is an animated GIF, deep fake of the dead kid.
I don't even feel like I want to show that.
No, I'm not. We're not going
to
show it.
I do want to go to see. I want to go see what the Twitter thread looked like. He probably deleted that by now. He's not that fucking.
I don't know. It seems like it's still. I would presumably. I do want to see if there's people. I only have it on my phone. I want to see if there's people. No, actually, someone sent it to me on Telegram. I can click through.
Oh, I love
it. I want to see if there's people in there that are like, yo, what the fuck is wrong with you? I would presume that there would be.
I'm pretty sure that was immediate. That was immediate reaction. But I'll probably never be able to find the tweet. Yeah. This nigga probably tweets a lot.
Yeah, I know. Everyone is saying this is weird. What's wrong with you? Like, everybody is responding to it like that. Yeah, no, nobody. Everyone has the common sense to do that. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I imagine he's just by now he's buried that post and all these other Indian
posts. It's not deleted. It's still up. But yeah,
I don't have a link.
People are like, this is disrespectful to the family. People are more freaked out over a deep fake. Well, then someone says people are more freaked out over a deep fake than the middle-aged man running the kid over. And I'm like, no, you can literally be freaked out about both. But like at the same time, like me, it's entirely possible to be outraged by this incident and also tell Jack Posobiec that that's like really fucked up.
There's an even scarier deep fake on his feed. It's this Peter Thiel being interviewed.
Oh, God.
It's like, how did they deep fake all the grease off of his face? Oh my God, there's several reposts of it. Yeah, I cannot find this deepfake. I'm still looking.
So people are just like, what is wrong with you? It's like, Jack, I hypocrite. It's like, my brother in Christ, what the fuck are you doing? Yeah. No, legitimately, though.
Yeah.
And then someone says, why does he have a British accent? Which is like, yes, that's another thing.
Oh, I didn't notice that. I was viscerally disgusted. I did not stick with it very much. I saw what the deal was, and I just got out of there. I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding me. Yeah, here it is. Kaylor Ellingson fundraiser just hit triple the goal. Keep it up. Oh, no, that's not it, is it?
Yeah, basically nobody.
This is just the
likes
photo.
This.
So it's a link to the... So they've got $42,000. What? Like, how long before GoFundMe like just takes that down?
Oh, here we have a libtard deciding to come to the defense of the killer here. Someone says it's not because he was a Republican, but because he felt threatened, just like Kyle Rittenhouse. It's like, no. He himself said it was because the kid was a Republican. All right. Some troll says, Jack, don't listen to the haters. This is well thought out and tastefully done. A-plus work. You should definitely do more of these. It's like, all right, like,
see,
shut the fuck up, guy. Now, that's obviously somebody trolling Jack Posobiec into doing
it. See, then there's like a he shares this post-millennial article. Biden calls on Americans to fight back against extreme MAGA Republicans just days after killing a MAGA. He's like, yeah, like that's a good piece of analysis. Like, the president is calling for
what you should be doing.
It's calling for is calling to fight against the opposite, the thing that's not happening. Right? Extreme MAGA Republicans. Like, right. Well, somebody just killed, you know, I guess. But I can't find the deepfake. Is this?
Well, somebody said in the in that thread of the deepfake of the kid, they said, like, it's almost like you don't actually take this seriously and it's just your job. And I'm like, yes, that is actually correct. And presumably that's probably somebody whose sympathies lean more in our direction. But yes. So what he has is a deepfake of Peter Thiel, or is it just actually?
No, it's actually Peter Thiel, but.
Yeah.
They must have put a lot of powder on Peter Thiel's face because he's not all like slimy like he usually is.
Yeah.
Which is weird. And Peter Thiel saying that, like, oh, is this it? No, I keep seeing a link to that. I guess we got to get off this because I can't find. Oh, no, here it is. Wow, this is so sick.
What is Thiel saying here?
Thiel, like, there's only three possible futures. Islamic. Sharia law, Chinese totalitarianism, or environmental tyranny. Kind of. He's just, that's what the headline was. It's like, okay.
Or like none of the above.
I'm really worried about Islamic Sharia law taking hold. I mean,
be an improvement.
That's the way it would be improvement, but also like that aughts gay op is kind of over with.
Yeah, like that's just not. It's not even. You've been saying like it would be an improvement. Is like not. It's like nah. Let's fucking get out of here.
Yeah, I'm looking at these at the.
They might try and bring that shit back if DeSantis gets elected. They might try and bring that shit back. They might try and do some like war shit.
So you've got
I bet they will.
So you've got thank you for sharing. And this is a guy from an AI. So I don't know. Like, did they make this with this AI? And he's like just happy to be And then the response is, having lost a child myself, I don't know that I could bear seeing her as AI. I know all this is inevitable, but are you getting any pushback?
Is this to the Kaylor Ellingson deepfake?
Yeah, I found it funny.
Yeah, no, dude, like, yeah, that was my first thought. It's like, imagine what his mother would see when she saw this.
In this scenario, this post is like sensible chuckles in Ted Kaczynski. In this scenario, I agree. It's not a good use of technology. I've seen where an elderly person was able to record responses, and they were able to use AI technology to give this deceased person the ability to talk to their relatives. That was kind of cool. I was like, that's not cool either.
So what? Like, whatever. Yeah, you can use technology for good things. Okay, fine. Whatever. The point is, like, I don't even give a shit about, like, is the technology gone too far? Is Jack Posobiec gone too far?
Yeah.
Like, it's like technology is. It's just there, right? You can use it or not. Like, what the fuck made this guy think that he could do this? And it is true. It indicates a mindset of these type of people. Like, literally, for him, all of this is about doing, like, internet funny stuff to keep people engaged on Liptard owns.
And here's
he's like, oh, this will really own Liptards. It's like, no. This is weird. This upsets people with normal emotional balances. Like, people who are normal. And even some people who are maybe a little bit weird. See, this is like just really beyond fucked up. And the reason is because these are people that are capable of thinking about how other people might feel about something. Mm-hmm. Which it's entirely possible that somebody like Jack Posobiec is not capable of that. Because if you post something like that, that indicates to me that you might not be capable of having an idea of what another person might feel. You simply might not be capable of that.
So the FUD... There's like libtards trying to put FUD into this. There's like one guy, that kid does look like he's from North Dakota. And then somebody posted an account called Boomercore, and it's a picture of somebody. It looks like he's a barber. He looks like he's cutting somebody's hair. And his t-shirt says, keep calm and kill liberals. It's like, what's worse, like the t-shirt or like the kid that got run over by the libtard? Like, we're just like, this is your cope?
Yeah, again, I'm not falling for any of this shit. No. Like, fuck you. If that kid wore that shirt, fine, yeah. I don't care.
And then it's like, was Brant's... I'm not... Even if the victim had that shirt on, he's still in the
If right. He had a shirt on while it happened, I don't care.
Yeah. Was Brant's reported comments about extremist Republicans any more than an off-the-cuff remark from an agitated suspect? in a tense situation who reportedly had been drinking. Well, and first of all, in Vino Veritas, second of all, like, it's not enough. It's like he confessed to all of it.
First of all, I don't care.
It's like, stop.
First of all, why are you?
Well, no, like, no. But it's, I care because they're trying to pretend like the facts of the case aren't known. It's like, no, these are the known facts of the case.
Well, there's known facts.
Yeah. This is all known. He confessed to this stuff. Like, he wasn't accused of saying that. Like, this guy told the cops.
He volunteered it.
He volunteered all this information. And if he did it while he was, like, while he had been drinking, then, like, all the more reason to believe it. That guy is a Republican extremist. Like, okay, we know how you really feel now.
He's so far gone into the same world that these people that are saying this are, that he thought saying that would, like, get him, would be, like, the authorities would be, oh, in that case, it's fine. Right, because he's getting the message from the president on down the system that these people are a big problem, and so, like,
the investigation is
probably is so far gone that he thought saying this kid's a Republican extremist would mean, like, oh, okay, well, off the hook then.
I don't know.
No problems.
I don't know. You don't either. We also don't know if Brandt was a crazy leftist or if Ellison was Republican extremist. We know that that was what how he described the situation. I mean, if you are running over a Republican extremist with your car, you are a crazed leftist. And then of course, back to my favorite Americanism is, like, the investigation is unfolding, and hopefully we'll all learn more. It's like, we've already learned the things that you said we don't know, so please go fuck yourself. But as things stand, there's a young man dead, and another man. This is like the nigger thing. Like, it's so sad that, like, he had to kill that guy, and now he faces prison. Who has a right to a presumption of innocence, facing charges that could put him in jail for years.
Okay, so here's how I know that he confessed, though. Here's how I know he's a libtard, and here's how I know that you know that he's a libtard.
Yeah,
because you're saying that shit.
Right.
If you didn't have a pretty good fucking understanding that he's obviously one of yours, you wouldn't be saying that.
No,
shit.
No, you wouldn't see any of that shit.
You wouldn't be saying. Did you say that for James Fields?
No,
no. So there you go. Now we know he's a libtard, and we know that you know he's a libtard.
Yep.
This stuff, it's very easy to see what you're doing, people. Like, it's not, you're fucking transparent as fuck.
There are only certain specialized classes of Americans who people are concerned with. Like, wow, this could put him away for years and ruin his life. That's like. Libtards, niggers, Jews.
Well, libtards don't usually count in that thing because typically libtards don't go and do violent things like this. I mean, increasingly we're going to see it, but it's a relatively out of the ordinary thing for a white libtard to go and actually do direct violence like this.
No,
so usually they don't,
like,
have to stick up for their
politically
own. Usually
motivated niggers.
Usually what happens is a unsuspecting libtard becomes a random victim of nigger violence, and then libtards have to start spinning the hamster wheel to excuse the nigger.
Right.
But in this case, so this is somewhat of a novel circumstance, but it's so funny to see all of a sudden now this, law should be applied objectively. Everyone has the right to self-defense. Let's not rush to conclusions. No, see, here's the thing. I know the guy's a libtard because you're saying that. You wouldn't be saying that if you didn't think he was. So fuck all of you. Anyway.
Yeah. All right, well, let's take a break.
Yeah.
And we got it. We got one. We got our first comment that happens every time we have an issue with video server and use the backup. You should use the Mega Player all the time. Like, yes. Do you promise to keep paying for free content? Because then we'll do that. It's like the reason things work.
Mega Player is not something that can be. We can't paywall it, so we can't use it. Sorry.
Well, also, we can't really, like, use it regularly.
Yeah.
Like, you can use it once in a while. That's why we have it. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's take a break and see if the tubes are unclogged yet.
All I see are NPCs. We live in a society.
All I see are NPCs. We live in a society.
We live in a society. All I see are NPCs.
This is the Merchant Minute. From The Intercept, Palestinian-American journalist Shireen Abu Akleh, who was killed by Israeli forces in May while reporting from the occupied West Bank city of Jenin, was deliberately and repeatedly targeted, along with her colleagues, despite being clearly identified as a member of the press, a new report released Tuesday concludes. What? You mean the reality of the situation is exactly as fucked up as I predicted? Jews are murderous rats who kill people attempting to report on their war crimes? No! The report, a collaboration between Palestinian human rights group Al-Haq and the UK-based research agency Forensic Architecture, confirms the findings of a half a dozen earlier independent reviews of the incident, including by the United Nations, which have found that Israeli forces were responsible for Abu Akleh's killing, with the UN noting that the bullet that killed her was well-aimed. But the new report, which includes a detailed digital reconstruction of the incident based on previously unseen footage recorded by Al Jazeera staff at the scene, in addition to witness testimony, open source video, and a drone survey of the area, offers the most conclusive account yet of what transpired that day. The report directly contradicts the final conclusions of a review by Israeli authorities issued earlier this month, in which officials conceded there was a high possibility that Abu Akleh was accidentally hit by Israeli Defense Forces gunfire. In that report, Israeli officials claimed that the IDF soldiers were firing towards suspects identified as armed Palestinian gunmen during an exchange of fire in which life-risking, widespread, and indiscriminate shots were fired toward IDF soldiers. But the new reconstruction clearly shows that there were neither armed gunmen nor shots fired in the minutes leading up to Abu Akleh's killing. Instead, the reconstruction shows that Abu Akleh's and her colleagues' press insignia was clearly visible from the position of the IDF shooter, that the shooter had a clear line of fire, indicating precise aim, and that the firing continued as the journalists sought shelter. After Abu Akleh was hit, a civilian attempting to provide aid to her was fired upon each time he tried to approach her.
Maybe there was a terrorist behind him somewhere, Guy.
This is literally the last nail in the coffin of what the army is arguing,
the forensic architecture researcher in charge of the investigation, who asked not to be named because of fear for their safety when working in the region, told The Intercept. Good call, but they will find you if they want to. I guess, ooh. I was about to say keep your fucking gat in hand at all times, but you're in Britbong land, aren't you?
We can prove conclusively that there was no one, zero persons, in between the occupation forces and Shireen,
they added.
There were no bullets, in sound or visually, so it's not that the army was responding to anything. We can also show, using visibility analysis that we've done in our model, that the shooting only happened when they were within the visible range of the army, which means that it was fully intentional.
Members of Abu Akleh's family also traveled to The Hague on Tuesday to submit the complaint. The evidence is overwhelming. It's been over 4 months since Shireen was killed. Our family shouldn't have to wait another day for justice, they wrote in a statement. It's obvious that Israeli war criminals cannot investigate their own crimes. The U.S. still has an obligation to investigate and take meaningful action for one of their own citizens. But when an individual state fails to protect its own citizens, it is the responsibility of the international community to protect them instead. And why doesn't our state protect its citizens in cases like these? Because Zionist Jews run America, duh. Here's another thing, too. This has been frequent enough, it's been recurring enough that I feel like I should bring it up. Someone was giving me shit on Telegram for a story like last week or something that called Abu Akleh a Palestinian-American, as if somehow this means I want Palestinians to be a part of my nation. A Palestinian-American is a subject of the gay Afro-Zionist Empire of America, not a member of my nation. There's a big difference, and you need to fucking understand it. Paying taxes to Zog doesn't make you authentically American. It doesn't make you founding stock like me, and it definitely doesn't make you capable of eventually fully assimilating into this nation. I want Palestinians to have their own nation to which they can return if they choose, and that can only happen if they take back their land from the Jews, so I'm going to make common cause with these people here, and fuck you if you don't like it, because we're going to win, guy. We're going to win, and you're still going to be listening to the retarded COVID ramblings and Duganism ramblings of some fucking chick on Telegram with big E-cup titties.
Wait, Morikawa, who's got big E-cup titties?
The last Israeli coalition government led by the hardcore Zionist freak
Naftali Bennett
had an Arab party in it, for fuck's sake. Even the genocidal kikes will make common cause with a racial enemy for a time to achieve their long-term goals. But I'm not telling you to be cynical about this and use those people like the Jews do. The Palestinians deserve all of that fucking land. That's justice. And if you can't have empathy for anyone who isn't a carbon copy of yourself, you're not going to achieve much in politics. And from the Times of Israel, Hamas on Thursday threatened violent repercussions over Jewish visits to Jerusalem's super-sensitive Temple Mount in a warning issued days before the start of the Jewish high holidays, when visitor numbers increase, and tens of thousands of sin chickens are slaughtered to absolve Jews of a year of child rape that they engaged in. The holy site and the old city of Jerusalem has long been the focus of tensions, but Palestinians have voiced increasing anger at the rising number of visits by Jews who revere the compound as their holiest site. This is how pathetic Jews are. What do Muslims have? Mecca, Medina, the Dome of the Rock. What do Jews have? What's their holiest site? Oh, it's a hill with somebody else's church on it. And the thing that they actually think is holy is not a cool-looking fucking Dome of the Rock. No, it's a broken-ass retaining wall on this dumbass hill. The Jews' holiest site is a hill with a retaining wall on it. Mahmoud al-Zahar, a senior member of the Gaza-ruling Hamas, warned the continuation of the Zionist aggression and their brutality against Jerusalem and the holy shrines will be the cause of a major battle.
Oh, you know it, lad!
Not in Minecraft! I'm gonna fucking kill him in real life!
Speaking in a rare press conference in Gaza's Omari Mosque, al-Zahar alluded to Palestinian concerns that a long-standing convention by which Jews may visit but not pray in the compound was being covertly flouted. Covertly? Ben Shapiro did it and told the whole fucking world. There are prominent figures and Jewish organizations openly calling for kikes to do this to own the Arabs. Yeah, that's going to be a real funny own when Arabs are slitting your fucking throats in the streets of Hebron, you fucking assholes. Decrying what he called a blatant attack on the religious and Islamic status of the city and the mosque, al-Zahar said Israel bore full responsibility for the possibility of dragging the entire region into an open religious war. Presumably, Israel defenders think the Palestinians are in the wrong for not putting up with an endless stream of Jewish piss flowing into their eyes. I no longer consider the possibility that any of those people are arguing in good faith. Your arguments are trash, and you're probably a fat IDF slob in some cubicle being paid to stir shit. Because conspicuously, whenever Israel is in a conflict with a non-European group or their interests are at odds with them, right, we're supposed to take a position that effectively lets Jews do whatever they want. Yeah, you guys are shills. If you aren't pro-Palestine at this point, you're either a paid shill or a retard. There are no other options. And from the Jerusalem Post,
Albert Camus,
the president of the Syrian Jewish community and one of the five last Jews in Damascus, passed away this week, according to an update by a rabbinic organization that helped him and his tiny community. Quick, somebody play Amazing Grace on the kazoo for Albert Camus. Sources who are familiar with the Syrian Jewish community said that Camus was 80 years old when he passed away, and since he never married, his only living relative is his sister, who still lives in Damascus. In 2006, he became president of the Jewish community. Camus took care of the Jewish cemetery and the empty synagogues that were left behind. He was the person who was in contact with the few international organizations that were in touch with this disappearing Jewish community. Camus and his sister were at the center of a BBC News in Arabic segment. They are seen in the Eliyahu Synagogue in Damascus while he was wearing a kippah. Ancient Jewish artifacts are shown in the video. There are now only four Jews left in Syria, two women and two men. Camus' sister Rachelle, another elderly woman, and two elderly single men in their 60s. So basically, Syria will very soon be added to the long list of countries that have expelled or eliminated their Jewish populations, intentionally or otherwise. 110 never again. For therightstuff.biz, I'm Meraki Yu, and this has been The Merchant Minute.
Cheers to Meraki Yu for responding.
So there's an Arab named Albert Camus? I thought Albert Camus wrote a book about a guy that killed an Arab. I don't know. Maybe this guy also wrote a book about killing Arabs. I don't know.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Albert Camus, the French writer that wrote The Stranger, which is a book about a guy who, like, killed for no reason, shoots an Arab, like, kind of for kicks, and then he goes to get executed, and it's an Algerian.
It's a man-bites-dog story.
It's a famous... it's a famous piece of literature, and Camus was like this. He was friends with like the existentialist movement in France in the 50s. He was friends with like Jean-Paul Sartre and stuff. But I actually like Camus, and he supported the 1956 uprising in Hungary, for which he was like cast out of like the cool, hip intellectual set in Paris in the 50s. Like Jean-Paul Sartre, who's a faggot.
Yeah.
And like a Jewish tool, basically was one of his friends and was like, you can't be part of our thing anymore because you supported the Hungarians against the USSR. But then, of course, all these people in 1968, they were supporting Prague Spring, which was a Jewish revolt, not an anti-Jewish revolt. So that was the difference between those two different revolts. There was an anti-Jewish revolt against Soviet Union in Hungary in 1956, and then in 1968 there was a Jewish revolt against the Soviet Union, which then all these leftists supported. And so The Stranger is about a guy who's like he's basically like a dissociative person, and he just like shoots an Arab on the beach because it's all like. It's some existentialist bullshit, frankly, to be honest with you, but still. it's not a bad read, though. Anyway.
Yeah, I was more...
The thing I liked about Camus is if you ever got assigned one of his books, they're real short. So you can read them real quick. You know, it's not like some like long plotting thing. Anyway.
I was more taken with the Palestine stories that he was doing, and particularly his willingness to engage in one of those like bad faith accusations regarding your position on Palestine. Because basically, if somebody doesn't support Palestine, then they're not ever going to talk to you in good faith. The Palestinian issue is they're trying to turn into a wedge issue in the same way that they're able to create this like these like Azov shit posters, these like Azov bots.
Yeah,
it's the same kind of thing. It's like you're trying to. It's why I was always uncomfortable during the Twitter days when we were still around. Other like non whatever, they're like not people that aren't with TRS, but they refer to themselves as pro-white, and I always said that that's not good enough.
Mm-hmm.
The sort of the pro-white stuff, because you can take pro-white and say, well, I don't like the Palestinians because they're not white,
right? And which is what these shill accounts do, and the problem is
it's not just these
like...
shill accounts. There's operations everywhere where they do that, and since pro-whiteness because of the Trump scene has sort of like kind of. It's been risen in prominence a bit on part of the conservative movement. Like it's everywhere. People are trying, like Jews are trying to get commentators to sort of capture pro-white or at least anti-white positions and try to put narratives out there. And a lot of them are like really problematic. I don't like Jazz Hands was telling me about one yesterday. I don't remember where it was from, where somebody was trying to frame World War II, the defeat of the Axis powers as like a great white achievement, and this is like this has sort of been put into the umbrella of like I'm a pro-white activist, I'm a pro-white commentator because I believe that it was a great white victory in World War II. It's like so the Jews don't exist. So I mean, it was a great white victory the outcome of that, where Israel was declared a state by the it's like, you know, there's a million holes you can poke in that, but that's put out there by serious people and people that don't know better. Well, that sounds good to me, you know. I don't like all these, you know, these nigger killings. They're killing white people around the country. No one's doing anything about it. But, you know, but I can latch on to, why should I care about Palestinians or this? They don't look like me. They're brown. And if, of course, if you're a Morikawa and you take the position that he always does, because he's always been solid on this issue, is like, oh, what you want? So you want Palestinians come live in America? It's like, I would troll harder. I'd be like, I would gladly trade a Palestinian for you, buddy. But that's not constructive. And I wouldn't mean that. But I mean, like, yeah, it's like,
what is it? Well, the problem is that the position is dumb and it relies on you being dumb.
Right. It relies on you either
being dumb or being cowed by their idea of like, if you're pro-white, you have to be.
Yeah.
Like basically dumb. You have to be like so edgy.
You have to be retarded.
Anything without white skin is like something that is like, you want to like kill all of them or something.
Right.
And then they never apply that to Jews.
Right.
It's like, why don't you take this edgy position you take on Palestine? Because, oh, this is, why don't you just apply that to, like, Judaism?
Mm.
And I remember then there was some people that would try and do, like, the I choose neither, I choose Europe. And I'm like, right, but the Palestinians aren't, like, contesting Europe. Jews are.
Right.
So, like, you can choose neither and choose Europe and be pro-Palestine.
Yeah, it's all because, it's like, all bad faith confusing the issue because they're trying to they're damn it, the Jews want to you to be like you're a dumb redneck toothless idiot because you're a racist. And since you're so dumb and toothless, we're going to make you we're going to try to get you to like be racist against Palestinians.
Yeah.
Even though they're fighting the fucking mothership of the Zionist movement.
Right.
You know,
that's what's basically what it is. And they're like, "Yeah, so you should definitely." And it's just stupid. And it's also the other thing is it's not like it's not the kind of a conclusion that like a normal person would ever come to.
Right.
And it's like you have to be it's like an internet only position.
Yeah.
Whereas when you do politics, like in the real world with real people, and you talk about this stuff, people get like, yes, there are people in the world that aren't white and have like legitimate political claims. And if those legitimate political claims that they have like dovetail with us and our interests, there's no reason not to just support that. And additionally, like, you know, one of the funny things that people always say is like, well, if we don't have the Jews here or if we don't have Israel, then like where are all the Jews going to go? I'm like, if we do have Israel, where are all the Arabs going to go? And well, the answer for the Jews is like, well, they're going to go to Europe and to America. And not only is that their answer, in theory, they are implementing that.
Right.
So right now, these Arab these invasions of these people into Europe, these migrations, these organized, which are organized entirely by Israel, which has been well proven. You know, I've done a whole research article on this. No one has ever refuted it. No one has ever, as far as I can tell, the people telling us to like shut the fuck up about Palestine have never even addressed this issue.
No,
or the people that say like, well, Israel deserves to exist, or you get the ones that are like they want to use like the example of Israel as a national state to like to make an excuse to like give an alibi to like white. I'm like, no, fuck that.
When somebody says that, do they include like, all right, let's put together a bunch of NGOs that send people like let's have people that we undesirables from here like emigrate into Israel,
right?
Because yeah, that's what Israel does. Like you go to right. find your racial enemy, send them a bunch of third world crap and ruin their nation. So we should be sending niggers to Israel then, right? Oh no, that's not what you meant when you wrote that in your castle or whatever.
Right?
Like you meant something
maybe
else.
Maybe the people that say that they don't know about it, or if they do, then it's even more reprehensible because literally this government. Because just because something is like a state, it doesn't mean like it's not your enemy.
Right.
And even if it's like, okay, this is a state for Jews, like we would like to create a state for whites. Yeah. Like you could say, okay, in principle, like groups deserve to have states or whatever, fine. But then like what happens when the state for Jews just is constantly attacking your right to have a state as white people? Well, then they've now forfeited their right. It's just so stupid to even do it. And I'm like, and additionally, somehow, you know, like when you see these milquetoast conservative like types that do this and they go out, remember like Ramsey Paul, like I'm Ramsey Paul and I'm a Zionist. I'm like, well, why aren't you a pro Palestine guy? If it's nationalism for everybody, then what about them?
I'm not a Zionist.
And then if you say without Israel, where are the Jews going to go? Where are the Arabs going to go? And the thing is, we know the answer. The Arabs are going to go to Europe, which is where the Jews are sending them.
Yep.
And in that article I wrote, I even showed that they've been planning to do this as far back as the fucking 60s.
Yeah.
They were planning to do this as far back as the 1960s, and they couldn't because it was too – it was like actually literally the Jew prime minister, Golda Meir, said let's hold off on this for now because we're going to upset Germany again, basically. as far back as 1960, they were planning on sending a whole bunch of Arab refugees into Germany. And she said, we have to stop because like we can't rock this boat just yet. We got to wait. So they waited, you know, a few more decades and then they started doing it.
Don't make Germany angry. You got to avoid the anger.
Yeah, well, they were legit. Israel in 1968 was significant. In the 1960s, Israel was weaker than it is now. It's much stronger now than it was back then. So they can flex more, right?
Oh, was that when?
Yeah.
Was it in the 60s when they were the United States' puppet? Is that where Noam Chomsky got that idea? He just never updated. But yeah, it reminds me of another thing that I haven't mentioned this in a, I don't think I've ever mentioned this on a show, but it's like, you know, there's been this, a thing I've heard over the years, and it's consistently been a thing I've heard from people that are more milquetoast, people that are far more moderate, and people that possibly could be, I'm not necessarily going to say everyone's ever said this is a shill, but they're at the very least falling for this kind of shilling, where they sort of say, it's like, you can't base your political or any identity around a negative, it has to be positive. And I say, oh no, you can definitely, your political identity in its entirety can be anti something as long as that thing is Jews and Zionism. That's all you're like being pro. This is what I was wanting to talk about, is like being pro white if you're not explicitly anti-Jew and anti-Zionist, then pro-white can mean almost anything.
Yeah.
Because liberals can be white. Because people can argue that Jews aren't brown, therefore they're white. Because all kind of, like, you know, or like that one writer that Jazz Hands told me about was that the defeat of Nazi Germany in the 1940s was a white achievement. You can argue all these things with that. So it's like, no, you have to, like, you're the best, the most important political identity you can have is anti-Zionist, anti-Semitic. Because that's the most powerful political identity there is, and it's the only one that's going to address any of the issues you're having in this world right now. If you don't like Arab migrants, quote unquote, Arab invaders in Europe, then you have to become anti-Jew and anti-Zionist, because that's who's doing it. If you don't like transsexuals in the United States and drag queen story hour, you have to become anti-Zionist and anti-Jew, because last I checked, the Pritzker family were Jewish Zionists.
Yeah,
and they created the entire tranny scene in the United States, and they're still pushing it. So
here we got. I've got this article from Haaretz from 2013, revealed from archive. Israel's secret plan to resettle Arab refugees. Plans drawn up during the 1950s and 60s had one overriding goal: to preserve the demographic status quo. Well, it wasn't really a status quo; it was actually to change it. But that's fine. By resettling the 1948 Arab refugees far away from the country, meaning like Europe. So it says last month marked the 50th anniversary of the assassination of U.S. President John F. Kennedy. Amid the flood of articles dealing with the traumatic impact of the event on American society, modest place was devoted to Israeli-American relations during the Kennedy presidency. Mostly in relation to Washington's fears about Israel's nuclear project. Little, if anything, was written about. Listen to this. So this is even more. This is something even more that we could go to the idea of that the Israelis killed Kennedy. Little, if anything, was written about the deep anxiety that prevailed in Israel at the start of Kennedy's term because of the president's initiative to resolve the Palestinian refugee problem. At the conclusion of the first meeting between Prime Minister David Ben-Gurion and President Kennedy held in New York in the autumn of 1961, there was no longer any doubt on the Israeli side that the White House was working on a new initiative concerning the Arab refugees called the three-pronged approach. Ben-Gurion did not like, to put it mildly, the idea presented to him by the president, which called for some of the refugees to be settled in Arab states, others overseas, and some to return to Israel. In defense of the president, the Israeli leader did not reject the idea out of hand. So then it says some of the nascent state's leaders viewed the country's voiding of its Arab inhabitants and thus the ability to establish a state possessing a Jewish majority as the greatest achievement of the Zionist movement. So literally they voided them. That's a new term. They voided the Arab inhabitants, transcending even the creation of the Jewish state itself. Accordingly, blah, 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 blah. So then they says there's something about the plan here. This is a different article than the one I had initially cited in my piece that I did last year. It says, in the summer of 1961, the skies above Jerusalem darkened when it emerged that the Kennedy administration was determined to find a solution for the approximately 1 million refugees who were crowded into camps from Syria and Lebanon in the north and as far as Jordan, the West Bank, and the Gaza Strip in the south. It would be a mistake to think that the catalyst for Washington's new initiative was the refugees' wretched and pitiful condition. Blah, blah, blah. So it goes on. Basically what this was, what Kennedy's plan was, I could read more, but I actually already know all of this. What Kennedy's plan was to issue, to go through the refugees and give them a questionnaire. Ask them, where would you like your final status to be? Would you like to be resettled in Jordan or Syria? Would you like to go back to Palestine? And he says those that go back to Palestine should be sent through a security check to see if they're going to be dangerous if they go back to Palestine. And if not, then they can go back. And also a check to see if they have a valid claim to some land there or something like that. No. And as soon as they heard this, the Jews, like literally in the article I wrote, I cited another article along the same lines, where they say, like, literally, as soon as the Jews heard this was Kennedy's plan, they immediately got in touch with, like, every person in every Jew started putting pressure on every congressman that they knew to, like, immediately shut this down.
Right.
Immediately shut this down. Because they're like, no way is the U.S. going to, like, assist in bringing any Arabs back into Palestine. So, yeah. So wait, this is actually kind of interesting. What provoked Congress to become involved was the burgeoning amount of aid provided by the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine. That's UNRWA. UNRWA. You've probably seen that before. Israel understood thoroughly the intricacy of American politics, understood the developments in the refugee camps adjacent to its borders. Jerusalem believed that the refugee problem was gradually disappearing. The Arabs of Israel are out of the game. The resolution of November 29 is dead. A reference to the General Assembly's partition of Palestine on November 29, 1947. At the end of the 1950s, the ball started to roll in the opposite direction. Not only did the refugees not disappear, not only did their ambition to return to their homeland not fade, but an accelerated process of heightened national identity set in. Their desire to return to their former homes grew more intense. In tandem with the political institutionalization of that wish, Israel failed to discern the emergence of the process, though its ambassador to Rome, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, they're talking about how they didn't stop the Arabs from actually – think about this. Think about what the Jews are saying here. Think about what's being revealed here. They fail, even in Palestine, where they have total upper hand and they have like complete power over these people. The fact that because they didn't immediately get out ahead of this, the Palestinians collectivized, politicized themselves and began an actual movement that stretched beyond their borders for their rights and their right to return home and created this identity and created identity for themselves. And they'll often say like, Palestinians like didn't exist before this or that or whatever. And it's definitely true that the creation of Israel significantly intensified Palestinian national identification. But it's also like, well, so what?
Yeah. Again, that's part of what I said, where it's like, you have to have a positive. You can't have an anti, like,
right.
And then it's like, okay, so this one existed, even if you can argue that it existed in reaction to the Zionist idea. It's like, so what? Doesn't matter. Like, you oppose Zionism. That's what you do.
Well,
especially if you're especially if Zionism is directly bulldozing your house.
Right. So the Arabs that lived in that part of the world didn't really think much about being Palestinians or not or whatever. They were just kind of living their lives. Now Jews come along, start killing them and taking their homes. And now they're like, we are Palestinians and we're going to stand up and fight. Okay, that's
completely
only natural.
Valid.
Like, what else do you think is going to happen? Right? So it's like, but what's so funny is that the Jews actively oppose the ability of the people that they are destroying and displacing to institutionalize themselves for a fight. And they regret, even as lopsided as the fight with the Palestinians is, they regret that they slept on that for too long, and the Palestinians actually were able to institutionalize themselves to some extent.
Right.
And this is something that there's still recriminations about, and that they feel like if they could have cut that off earlier, then maybe they wouldn't even be having some of the problems they're having. I mean, I doubt it, but there you are. But that's also why, but think about that now when you think about white people. So what? One of the main things, all their activism, all this stupid terrorism bullshit, all that crap, is simply them trying to prevent white people from collectivizing and institutionalizing for a fight against Jews for our land in America, and which is, this is our rightful land, the same way that's the Palestinians' rightful land. This is our rightful land. So that's the main thing that it just tells you. That's what you want. So anyway, like, oh, we'll do a decentralized. Like anything you get involved with, anything bigger than 2-3-man teams, it's like, what was the Palestinians do?
Did you hear what Emily said about that? This is like, what? I don't think the solution to our problems is gay thruples.
Yeah, well, that was my thing. I mean, I was saying kind of the same
thing
where I was like,
when she said gay thruples, I fucking died when I heard that.
I didn't know that was a term, but like, I was like, yeah, like, I don't, like, what are you going to do with 2-3-man teams other than, like, there's two things you can do. Yeah. Like I said. You can do terrorism or gay sex, and frankly, in both cases, you'd actually even want a bigger than 2-3-man team. You probably want more. I mean, I know that fags definitely they don't want to limit themselves.
Yeah,
two three man teams.
That's like two, like, yeah,
that's like an off night for them.
Yeah.
Well, do you remember the metric fuck ton of piss guy?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking of, but I couldn't remember the term for him. Yeah.
He was saying like he had gone to this orgy and that orgy, and then Sunday was like a light day, only like four dudes. Like he's like kind of took a day off, only had like, but even then, like I said, even then it wasn't even 2-3-man teams. He had like a 4-man team on his like kind of off day, right? Which is just like, dude. Fuck.
I was gonna say also like In terms of like Palestinians and whites in the as the Jew enemies, like you're still allowed to say Palestinian,
mm-hmm.
right? And like a Palestinian like group advocating, like yeah, they're sort of like are regarded as terror groups, but they still like are a thing. Whereas like people won't say white in any sort of mm-hmm. advocacy. Like they have a hard time saying. They've only recently been saying anti-white on some conservative media. So in a mm-hmm. way, we're almost further along than the Palestinians in this country. It's in our own country.
Yeah.
And if someone talks about white people and they're being positive or they're demanding rights for white, it's like you're now the bad guy, which is very funny.
Well, can you imagine the response of those Fargo conservative hosts to the idea of like being pro-white or the idea of even talking about white people? Is they would be like, wow, we are. What's funny is how quickly they did this to us, because race has always been a huge deal in America.
Yeah.
And white, like you said, just everyone just like, yeah, we're white, they're black.
Yeah,
I
saw a video yesterday somebody posted of there was a Trump rally somewhere that I guess Patriot Front picketed at, and there's this dude, looks like a fucking moron.
He's a fucking Mexican.
Oh, was
dude?
He Mexican?
It's a beaner. He's a beaner, yeah.
Oh, he just thought he was on that spectrum, that Latinx.
Well, then there's a couple of white guys that join in, or at least yeah. there's one. There's one like,
yeah, but he's yelling
white,
like, I would kick all your asses. Him. Like, I don't care if I get my ass beat, every one of y'all. You're all white supremacists and shit. It was just like.
Well, they just, what's the difference between you and Antifa then?
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, what the fuck, dude?
Yeah, no, I saw that. I saw that video. That dude in the red jeans and the red shirt and the red shoes was a fucking beaner.
All right. I didn't
and know. Then there was some fat, like, white boomer that like, yeah! was backing him up.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, they hate black people. It's like, well, okay.
They, yeah, right. They hate black people. It's like, yeah, what do you like them? You well, see what they do? Well,
yeah, show Yeah, I mean, where do you live?
There's some. There's
put your money where you're, yeah.
Somewhere nearby, like a nigger robbed a bank this afternoon, and there's like an alert going around. Jesus. Yeah, an armed robbery.
Dude, I just look at the local news feed out of New York City, and it's all just like somebody got thrown on the track, somebody got punched. Like two things in the last hour I saw. Some nigger threw a chair at some dude. There was like a 66-year-old man was sitting at a pizza place on 58th Street. A nigger ran up and threw a chair right in his face, and they stole his phone. And then there's another one where, like, again, a white lady was standing on the subway tracks, and nigger walked up. And there's video of both of these things on the New York Post, and nigger walked up and just punched her right in the face. So these are two things in, like, the last day in New York City. Now, people could do, like, if you're white, get out of New York City. I'm like, yeah, okay, fine. I understand your point there. But at the same time, like, what is your response to this? Because this wasn't always like this. There was a time when this shit would not be done in New York. You would not have niggers on 58th Street. That's like right in Midtown. It's like right in the middle of like a big business district. And this dude's sitting there eating pizza. And again, if they're doing that shit on 58th Street, I mean, come on now, right? It's not even like this dude's in the South Bronx. And it's funny because you see, when you watch these videos, you see these niggers make these snap decisions to do it, right? Like you see them just like look, and then they just do it. And it's like, yeah, because nothing is stopping them. Nothing is stopping them from doing it.
Mm.
Let me see if I can get the video of that. Yeah, look at this. I know we're doing like, oh my God, look at this stuff, but like this is what they will do anywhere.
Is it post? Not post. Oh, there it goes. Okay, I was just waiting for the post to show up. This is the architecture segment, no?
Yeah, let's look at the architecture here. Let's do architecture. So we got architecture. First of all, somebody needs to clean these streets. You know, I can't even appreciate the.
Like, where is the video? Did I just close the little video in the corner?
At the top.
Oh, okay.
The top. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Wow.
So I can't manipulate it.
Oh,
there we go.
So I can't manipulate it while it's paused. So we'll wait for the replay, I guess. Nope, it closed itself again. What the fuck? I can't play the damn thing.
It's so bad. All right,
he's going to throw.
There we go. I mean.
What was that? What did he drop, a towel?
He dropped his phone. Oh, yeah, no, I don't know what the nigger dropped. He seemed to drop the towel.
Something fell out of his
bag. It looks like.
He had something in his bag. And then he runs off. He's just got the guy's phone that's...
Yeah.
Randomly attacked with a chair. Well, at least it looks like I don't think he was seriously hurt with that.
He broke his arm.
Really?
The guy went to hospital with a broken arm.
Jesus fuck.
Says a 66-year-old victim suffered a broke... He probably went up to defend himself.
Will we ever find this mystery perpetrator? If they do find him, will there be any bail set for him?
Well, dude, the guy that punched the lady on the subway tracks, I don't even want to bother. It's just you've seen it all before. The guy that punched the lady on the – because, again, these headlines are every day, though. Like, none of this is special.
Right.
The guy that punched the lady on the subway tracks yesterday had been arrested 40 times. 40 times.
That's just how racist New York City is. Harasses black man. What
they
do is
they say, like, this is what people are calling an example of, like, the broken criminal justice system. But, yeah, I hate that phrase because they use that for multiple things. So remember when people were talking about our broken immigration system, and both Republicans and Democrats were using that phrase. Now, you can also say that if you're a Republican or a Democrat or whatever you are about New York City's broken criminal justice system. When you say that, that could mean anything. How is it broken? Because like the libtard would say it's broken because like too many blacks are getting in trouble or something like that. But you could actually say, well, in reality, it's broken because niggers are running around hitting people in the face with chairs that have had 40 prior arrests and like nothing's happening to them. That's pretty broken. But when you just say it's broken, it doesn't specify how. Same with the immigration system. When they libtards would talk about immigration being broken, they mean like we're not just letting every Mexican in. And then conservatives, in theory, would mean like we're letting too many in, right? So it's like, why are you saying our broken? So then what they would do is in campaigns, they're like, why are we going to fix the broken immigration system? What the fuck does that mean?
Yeah, it can go either way. Exactly why.
The worst is when then you have like fucking dumbass, Jesus like Christ. partisan users just like backing this up, this language.
Why, I just went to the Metro section of New York Post, and it's just like, let's just scroll.
It's the same. It's all this shit.
Let me just hold on. I want my comfy drop to make me feel better. Where is it? I can't find it.
The black pill. Black pill.
I mentioned
that. I don't like black people. I just want to let you know that up front.
I can't. I didn't mean to do the first one. It's right next to it. It's like they're in alphabetical order. Black pill, black people. But where's my architecture job? We have a here.
Architecture.
This is a whole much.
Okay, this is we're going to do new
architecture. What's the deal with architecture?
So, here we have the top headline is New York City teen saved from stabbing outside school when knife breaks. I wouldn't say he was saved. I was saying the knife broke. No one saved
and
him.
It's like, then it's like cops. Colon cops.
Yeah. Two teens busted in stabbing death of 27-year-old in New York City. Cops. It's like, well, so I guess that
this
knife.
The colon cops.
So that knife. The colon cops. That knife didn't break. So no one was saved because, like, what are the cops going to do? Ruthless Queens gang leader who ordered hit on New York parole officer behind bars, whatever. So that's some kind of parole hearing.
Sidebar has got a lot of niggas.
Yeah.
Too.
Like a horror film, neighbor describes grisly crime scene where a woman was chopped up.
Oh yeah, they found some like lady chopped up in a fucking suitcase or something the other day. I heard about this. Yeah,
oh, here we go. Just... Robbery suspect 29. I wonder what kind of 29-year-old he was. Dies of possible drug overdose at NYPD station house. Colon cops.
Dude, I love this one. Look at the one underneath it.
Rookie NYPD cop busted for snatching AirPods from restaurant worker.
Yeah, that's a nigger. That was a nigger. I guarantee you.
Delivery man struck by stray bullet during street fight. Colon cops. NYC mom who fought off accused sex fiend living in terror after his sweet plea deal.
There you go. There you go.
That's a good one. Chris Christie mocks disaster. Donald Trump at upstate BizCon. Whatever. New Jersey high school football player dies after suffering head injury. Oh. I guess that's not a crime. Yeah. That's just niggers slamming into each other.
Yeah, but that's like the thing is anything having to do with a crime is just like blacks.
Long Island man admits to selling fentanyl used by addict in fatal overdose.
Woman 44 arrested for fatal shooting inside Brooklyn party space.
Yeah, woman. There's a woman.
Yeah. No, I mean, yeah.
Wait,
it's 100%.
Hold like, on. I don't know this euphemism. What is a Brooklyn party space? Is she like
I mean, this is a place that you definitely want to be away from as fast as possible. Because, yeah.
Number of teenage shooters victims in New York City triples in disturbing trend.
Oh, man. So that's like 2 to 3 times as many 2 to 3 man teams. New York City. The idea that that career criminal indicted for brutal attack on Hero NYC subway worker. That's the one. Now, if you click on that, they're going to be featuring a nigger subway worker who actually did apparently try to stop this guy. But the video is him punching a white lady. So that video, just let it play.
Here we go. I was trying to get it to.
So just watch. Oh, there's audience walking by. Oh, boom!
Holy shit!
Oh, actually, it looks like an Asian woman, maybe Asian or distinct. Yeah, he just look at that. Look at that. That's what they do. And the nigger is just standing.
No, she's not okay. Why don't the 8 of you tackle him? Oh my god,
that woman looks actually Asian to me. Still,
what did he say after that?
He's probably like telling someone to come fuck with him. Be
cool. You say be cool? Why don't you be cool, man?
Wait, hold on, wait, go back. I want to hear what he's saying.
It sounds like he says you. No, he says no. You be cool. Oh, here it goes again. Be cool. He says something else.
All right, so this person is
stop. He said something else.
What did you hit me for? What a fucking, implying she hit him. But why did your face hit my fist?
It's just like that. That's on the New York Post website. Like, how does anti-racism exist? Like, how do people see that as guys as a fucking individual? Oh, because you have a nigger and a subway worker that didn't like it.
Well, that's why they're featuring the story at all, because some nigger subway worker, but it's not even clear what he did. Now, this nigger apparently also got beat down by this dude. And they're saying because he was trying to intervene to help or something like that. They don't have video of that. Interesting.
A well-meaning transit worker suffered a broken collarbone and dislocated nose. Is dislocated or is it just bigger than usual because it's a nigger?
Whatever.
Sorry.
But the thing is, it's all right, well, I mean, if that's true, good for that guy. But the thing is that anti-racism exists, and it's such a big – think about this. When shit like that is going on every day, think about – actually, for a second, put yourself in the position of someone whose job it is to make sure there's no race-based reaction to it. Your job as an anti-racism worker is to make sure nobody has any reaction to this stuff. The only way to react is in the acceptable parameters, saying on an individual basis with no races involved, that is a bad thing to do. And then, in fact, what happens is the nigger isn't even actually punished because you can't punish.
No, he's got a whole $5,000 bail. He's sitting in Rikers. I don't know how that happened. I thought they wouldn't do that. I thought we didn't do that anymore.
Well, I think because when things like this happen and it comes out, this dude was arrested 40 times.
40
and
bus.
They can also make a media story where another nigger is a hero. Mm. Then maybe you might at least get something going with this guy. But anti-racism exists because this is so bleedingly obvious, because it's so freaking obvious that they have to have this massive apparatus that is funded. Billions of dollars go into this, and the whole media, and we have the most totalitarian.
Well,
people who think the U.S. media is not totalitarian control, they're just wrong, because if it wasn't, you would get people saying nigger way more often. But yes.
The career criminal's history includes a caught-on video attack on a 55-year-old Asian in lower... Oh, so that is that what the video is from June? Or did he do it again? This is all the way back from June 20...
Oh, that's the previous thing
From June 2021 he punched this woman in the face.
Oh, well, all right.
So they don't have video of him beating up the transit worker.
But so, here's the thing. Why is he not in jail? I mean, look, this is
obvious. Because he's a fucking nigger. I mean, look at this fucking guy.
I understand the reason, but yeah.
Why is he not in asylum? This is a system.
Why is he fucking not just
This is just another nigger that fits. He fits the definition of psychotic, as we talked about in the first hour. Just another nigger that he's below the standard. He's not a neurotypical person compared to white people. He can't be in public, and probably has been that for a very long time. He looks like he's homeless. He's probably homeless. That's so sad. It's like no, he's not homeless. It's because he's a fucking psychotic nigger criminal.
I'll say something else about the idea of why don't other people go and do something. Now, having lived in New York City, I will explain this to people. Like, first of all, I understand the impulse of saying, like, why don't other people go and do something? I'll tell you one reason they don't. They're afraid he has a knife or a gun.
Or a disease.
Or something. Or just, like, he's dangerous, right? Yeah, and so it's sort of like, it's not even just, like, the act of physically, confronting him and, like, making him stop. It's like, you don't know that he doesn't have, frankly, one of the reasons I would be afraid to intervene if I was standing right there, and I was afraid of that kind of thing when I lived in New York, although I never really witnessed something like that, I would be afraid this nigger has a knife and is going to cut my guts up if I don't fucking try and, if I try and step to him. And at that point, it's like, well, like, I would frankly rather let him, let the police deal with it or something like that. Of course, the police don't deal with it. But yeah, it's not even that I would afraid of getting being beat. That's not anything. It's like fist. No, that's not that scary. I would don't want to get cut. And that's what everyone's afraid of with these niggers. Mm-hmm. They're afraid he's got some kind of a blade. That's why people don't intervene. And what's funny is that we had this case that Justice Report was talking about, where this kid in his high school, this white kid, gets stabbed literally in the back by a nigger student. And some kids, when this happened, were taking videos of it, and they put them online. And the administration gets mad at the kids that were doing that, saying, instead of, like, helping your fellow student, you chose to, like, take video and put it online. And it's like, well, is it the responsibility of, like, a ninth grader to get involved after somebody has just stabbed somebody with a deadly weapon? Or is this something that, like, security and the school administration and adults need to handle? Like, there are reasonable reasons for people to be afraid of crazy people, or seemingly crazy people, or niggers that randomly, seemingly, violently attack people in public. There's a reason to be afraid of that. Now, one thing that would make you less afraid would be, you know, a fucking gun. Like, if you could have a gun.
No, you can't have that.
If, as a pedestrian in New York City, that would even the odds quite a bit. But kids aren't going to have that. The ninth graders in school aren't going to have that. So, yeah, it's just – it's like at some point, do the authorities have – I mean this is why I don't – that's another – that to me feels also like kind of like another one of these conservative copes. Like, why don't the other people do something? It's like – and the implication of the person saying that is always like, I would do something were I there. And I'm like, I guarantee you wouldn't. I fucking guarantee you wouldn't. I'm like, why doesn't the government do its fucking job? How about that? How about, like, these institutions actually do their fucking job and clean these people off the fucking streets so that there doesn't have to be this pressure of a random pedestrian who sees a brutal attack, feels like, oh, no, now I have to go get involved and I might get my face cut off by this crazy lunatic.
I just feel terrible for everyone on the street when I see that. That's why I react to it. Yeah. Like, here's a racial attack on this Asian broad. There's all these Asian dudes standing around powerless.
Right.
And God knows that
there have been times when there was a recent case with some Filipino – some nigger did this and some Filipino MMA fighter took him down. Now that's an MMA fighter.
Yeah, right.
So he knows how to fight.
Yeah.
So he took him down and because he wasn't white, he didn't get in trouble. And it was funny. There was like, I was looking at the video of this and he's like, got him in some hold. And he keeps, he's like, just stay down, bro. Just stay down. And he's like, ah, you racist. You're attacking me, racist. He's like, just shut up and stay down, bro. And like the cops get there and there's like white people standing around looking at, like watching the scene. And if I were... And there's like a couple other Filipino dudes like helping hold this nigger down. Probably a white person standing there, I'd be like, you know, I would be happy to help you hold this guy down, but I'm white. So if I touch him, we are all going to go to jail on a racial hate crime. So I'm just going to stand back here. So if you're like an MMA fighter, it's like, okay, this guy knows how to, you know, to take somebody down and to fight and all that stuff. So it's different. But yeah.
So I wanted to look into this story a little bit more. Woman 44 arrested for fatal shooting inside a Brooklyn party space. I guess for whatever reason, party space. This is just they're calling it a club and a party. Is this does club have a bad connotation now? They don't openly use that. Like it I don't get the style. So a woman was
probably
bust,
like a warehouse or some shit.
Yeah, a woman. It is a venue. It has a name. A woman was busted Thursday for allegedly shooting another woman to death inside a Brooklyn party spot last month, and she said she did it because the victim ran over her foot with a bicycle. Dion Kirkland, 44, was charged with murder for allegedly shooting Tarsia Lysias, 44, in the head on October 28th at the Hearts of Love party space on Liberty Avenue in East New York, according to the police. The shooter said she shot the other woman after confrontation inside the club. The victim was riding a bicycle around the club and ran over the perpetrator's foot. The two didn't know each other previously. Lysias was taken to Brooklyn Hospital and pronounced dead. So you just, that's all how you're in a club, riding your bicycle, you run over another bitch's foot, and she shoots you in the head.
Jesus.
I mean, the societal failures are like, it's like, so, there's like an onion that you would put in your shoe.
It's like the
cascading. There's so many layers to it. Like the cascading.
Cascading social decline.
It's collapse. Just like all the things. A party Dude, I searched, space. Like, is party space, this... party space is supposed to be like a more, like bring more like positive vibes. You think of a club, yeah. Like in a club, like, because a club is where like women shoot each other in the head. And then, you know, yes. And everyone goes crazy about it. Like, so but a party space is like, oh. It's the hearts of love party space. We would never run you over with a bike and shoot you in the head in a party space. It's like you could have your like your birthday party there for little kids, having like pizza and like little confetti cakes and shit. No, dude, it's the same old thing.
We can now do instead of, you know, we're doing like the restaurant chain searching on like attacks. We could do one where we do the random implements because oh. I searched. Like different items that you maybe have.
Yeah.
So I searched like man hit with chair NYC, and that's not the only case I got.
Wow.
So I got some going back.
So you've got like a game of like nigger clue going on here. It's like Quantavius in the party space with the bicycle, Lysias at the pizza shop with the chair.
Yes, nigger clue. Yes, that's oh my god. So some of the other headlines I got, let me see if I go. Okay, so we get this. So I got man sitting at NYC restaurant randomly attacked with a chair. And we go back to December 21st. Robber stomp victim beat him with chair in wild caught on video Brooklyn attack. And then we go back. That's December 20th, 2021. We go back to June 30th, 2021. Man beaten with bat, hit with chair, and stabbed in Midtown Manhattan.
Hmm.
And then April 28th. Man charged after boy kicked in face, woman hit with chair in Manhattan. You know, all this is nigger stuff. We don't even have to like look into it too much. And then we have, here we go. August 6th, NYPD hunting for five suspects in bizarre Manhattan frying pan attack. So, I'm thinking like, and this is just all niggers. Like, it's just all, I should send you a link to this one. This is actually just from like last month. So this is, like, again, it's exactly what you think. I mean, it's like, and the thing is at some point it's like, all right. It looks like that was so they attacked a 34-year-old man with what appeared to be a frying pan. Five suspects. I kind of doubt some of these people are actually suspects.
Now the NYPD looking for five suspects who reportedly attacked a man with frying pans. Yes, you heard that right. It happened at around 2 in the
pants,
morning on
guy?
Thursday, July 21st, near Ludlow and Rivington Streets on the Lower East Side. Police say the 34-year-old victim was arguing with someone when those suspects came up and began hitting him with what appeared to be cooking pans. They made off with cash, credit cards, and documents. The victim, though, was taken to the hospital in stable condition.
Okay. So, all right. I'm sure it was like another black person that they were doing it with, but like, still.
How do I stop still, it? Like, don't play anything. Please don't. It's gonna.
So
play
like, if you okay. just had to think of
all
like,
right, announced
like,
that what, police involved.
Sorry.
Let's see. Let me see if I have like, you know, like let me see the meat tenderizer.
$220 in cash. They got him. 6-year-old. What the fuck? What is this shit?
What? Oh, is this they want you to paywall something?
I don't know. I don't want to sign in. I want to fucking read the story, the related story you have here. It says 6-year-old attacked in Brooklyn. It's like that's like a special story for only like local Fox News fucking insiders. I guess. I'll be googling that instead. I'll be chicken swinging the headline.
Yeah,
6-year-old girl attacked and robbed in Brooklyn. Play. Oh. Boy, look. Is that the person of interest? That's the Negro of interest? Oh, we got video of.
What's with this, like...
I don't know what the... There's, like, no sound on the... On the street cam, so...
Oh, yeah. No, that was the Negro of interest. Seems to have happened behind that ambulance.
I guess I was chasing... He's chasing her down, or... What has he got? Steal her bike? Stole her scooter. Yeah. and helmet. So that's interesting. The bike wasn't even like wasn't just unlocked. Like somebody was using it. And he just fucking snatched it out of her.
Oh yeah, you better believe it.
But he already had a bike, or is that them behind them? I don't know.
I couldn't.
A little voiceover work could have helped us out there. How do I get out of this? How do I get out of this, Fox?
Yeah.
All right. The New York is looking for three teens, so it's a three of them, who attacked and robbed a six-year-old girl for her $30 scooter in Williamsburg. The police released security images on Friday. They say attack took place. Oh, this is old. July 28th.
Yeah. You'll find, like, old stuff, but, I mean, again, it's just, like, the constant.
Teens walked up to her. One of them punched her in the chest. The other two grabbed her scooter and ran off down Throop Avenue.
Punch me in the chest.
The attackers are approximately 14 and 16 of age with dark skin complexion.
What the fuck?
He's wearing red shorts and black and red sneakers, so the Bloods did this. And he was riding on a city bike. So that's why I had a nice bike. It was a city bike.
Dude, the niggers are like, those city bikes, the niggers are stealing those things like crazy, dude.
Was it really theft, though? Or did you just borrow them? Just put them down somewhere. The second suspect was last seen wearing a white shirt, turquoise shorts, and black sneakers. I love how they fucking describe the outfits. It's like
I remember when that city bike program. Well, the problem is you're supposed to, in order to get them out, you have to like have some, like you have to be able to have like a credit or debit or something like that. But then like that was like racist or something. I don't know. In any case, like the niggers have figured out a way to free them from the places where they're locked up. And it's so funny because I remember when they first started that program, I was like, this should be fun. This will be funny. And of course, yeah, it turned into like exactly what you think. Like you don't see a white person on a city bike. But like the idea of it was like this hipster thing, like this we're gonna have people riding bikes around, going to your tech jobs for, you know, driving a little bike and doing a fun, but no.
You don't have to have a nice bicycle that you store in your shitty little apartment. You know, it's just outside and there's always a whole bunch of them magically appear for you to rent or whatever.
Yeah. Well, the funny thing is like the fact that they're locked up at all means you can't actually do it because there are towns. There are, like, white towns where people literally, they just do, like, in Vermont and shit like that. They just have, like, bike share in the town, and the people just, like, return the bike to where they found it when they're done.
Right.
Or they're very meticulous about this. They're very, I was trying to think of the right word. Anyway, yes, they're very,
oh, my God.
They're very careful about doing this.
So the NYC saved from stabbing when the knife broke? A 16-year-old boy was saved from an unprovoked broad daylight stabbing outside a Queens school building this week when his baby-faced attacker's knife somehow broke. What does his baby-faced attacker look like?
His baby, because the attacker was probably like fucking 12.
Why don't you put a picture of his baby face up here? Or I don't know if this is the victim or the.
Here's my thing. I'm totally willing to believe that the attacker had a baby face.
Sure, but it's like
the attacker was a very young person that looked like a young person.
I'm just saying, is this the attacker or the victim? Because they don't make it clear. Like, I don't know.
Like, that looks like the victim, I think.
I don't know.
I think that's the guy that was stabbed, yeah.
And now I can't get out of this. I can't get out of this view.
But I mean, first of all, like, I don't, like, it's just like the things that go on in that place. And particularly in places, what was this in Brooklyn or something like that? In Queens, where is it? Brooklyn?
Was this Queens? Yeah, Queens.
Okay, but these colored neighborhoods are just so awful. Even though like the Mexicans and the Mestinks people are not as violent and as the niggers are, like just the culture is so shitty and awful. Like, look at that dude with his like. Wearing around boxer shorts and just like, I don't know, dude. It's just like.
As soon as the knife made contact with the victim's shirt, it broke and the teen was unharmed. It says he was standing at the bus stop in front of 9130 Metropolitan Ave, the home to three different schools. Tuesday when a stranger approached him and plunged knife into his chest without saying a word. So this is some kind of. And the would-be assailant then ran off. Well, I think he's an assailant. Just because the knife broke doesn't make him a non-assailant. Right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's.
I mean, he's still an assailant.
Like attempted murder.
The video shows the suspect, who appears to be a teen himself, wearing a black T-shirt and green patterned shorts. Okay, so the suspect that's the stabber, that's the baby face stabber, not the victim.
Is the stabber.
That's okay. The stabber.
Either way. Yeah, that makes sense. Either way.
Sick.
So speaking of stabbings, I want to talk about this for a second. So this is Jack's article from yesterday.
Yeah.
Fort Worth, Texas, a white student stabbed in the back with a steak knife by a black student at a local high school. And the administration is more upset at the student whistleblowers than the suspect himself.
Oh, yeah.
So in an exclusive interview, the Justice Report was able to speak with an anonymous source who has ties to the school. I guess they got in touch with one of the students at the school.
Cool.
According to our anonymous source, white freshman Logan Jensen, nice white name there, was attacked by a black student in the hallway of Boswell High School in Saginaw. Multiple students began recording the apparent murder attempt and posted their footage on social media using apps such as Snapchat, TikTok, and Nextdoor. Concerned students and parents are able to spread awareness of the crime, leaving school administrators to play damage control. So here we have a leaked memo issued to parents and provided by the anonymous source. Boswell High School administration quickly dismissed the incident, appears more upset at students who blew the whistle. So it says, I want to applaud the majority of our students on campus for how they reacted to the situation. What? But by doing nothing? I mean, what does that even mean? We had a few students who, instead of helping their fellow student, took pictures or video to post on social media. This is not acceptable behavior at Boswell High School or anywhere. Now, one wonders if this is if it's like blacks that were doing it, you know, like, oh, world star. But at the same time, it's also like, well, you know, people are going to do that kind of shit when they see that stuff. And it's, again, it's also like chastising kids for like not getting involved when somebody gets stabbed.
Yeah.
Is like, again, you know, this is also funny because it's coming from a school official. It's like, oh, yeah, students, if you see somebody get stabbed, you should definitely jump right into the fray instead of like, you know. Yeah, it's just a. Yeah, there's a video of it, but and of course the black students in the school. The school is half black, so I'm guessing that a lot of the kids that were like taking pictures and video were black. But it's obvious that no, they didn't. They clearly didn't want to have this disciplinary incident with a black. Like, that's the thing. That's the one thing you can tell. All of these institutions, none of them want to have to discipline blacks.
And the question is,
from the schools to the courts.
Is it because they don't want the fallout from disciplining a black, or is it because they don't want to discipline blacks? And the answer is, I don't care.
Yeah, you're going to get some of both.
The answer is like, punish the blacks.
Yeah, in this case, it looks like the principal is an ideological libtard. But you're going to get people who aren't ideological libtards who will conform to this because they are responding to system incentives as in the expected way. So it's just whatever. So this school is 51.3% minority. They're non-white. Basically means non-white.
Yep. Not a good school.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the teacher with the fake tits yet, did we?
No.
It's up in Canada somewhere. This dude with these massive fucking like anime Z cups.
Okay, so let's bring this up. I mentioned this briefly on Telegram too.
Yeah. What did you say?
What I was reacting to was some fucking cleverer than thou asshole who I think is probably a Jew, but I didn't look it up. On Twitter was saying, like, they showed a picture of the dude with the big tits.
Yeah.
And it said like many people will have a strong moral reaction.
Yes. Yes.
To this,
but no argument,
but they can't construct a valid argument as to why they feel that way.
It's like, well, Jew. The strong, like visceral revulsion is powerful enough, and it only comes into question with kikes like you around,
right?
So if you get rid of the kikes, then we can live normal lives again, where we are guided by such visceral disgust reactions. It's quite simple.
Now, first of all, what I said was, like, the argument is that exposing children to this man is sexual abuse. Okay, straight up. Now, so it's actually not hard to come up with an argument. But the thing is, that's kind of what I do. That's my job, is to come up with these arguments. If people can't come up with a valid argument, and if they're actually fooled by your pill pull, like, let's question the premise here. If many, many people – okay, have a strong visceral reaction to this and don't want this kid, don't want their kids or anyone's kids being taught by this person,
mm-hmm.
that in and of itself should, why is that in and of itself not valid? Why won't you just respect it?
Right.
Why won't you just respect it? All these people have a strong moral of opposition to this. Instead of doing this deconstruction bullshit where then you feel like by putting that out there, you're kind of, the implication is if you can't come up with an argument, then like your feelings or whatever are invalid.
Yeah, but
and
like,
Jews do this all the fucking time. And my thing is like, no, the answer to that is no. The argument is fuck you. The argument is no.
Right.
And fuck off.
And it's also
and shut
just
the
like,
fuck up. And now you're in trouble for trying to do this.
It's sort of like when you do this kind of deconstruction, like I want to remind these people that like politics as they're done, the reason you have like policies and it's like a proxy for like, so you don't have to do violence. And it's like, if you want to disrespect and deconstruct people's, right. you know, people's way of lives and their moral code so much, like you're like, it's like, you don't need, like in that case, it's like, you don't need an argument when you have a baseball bat. You know, it's like, I could just beat right. you into submission for saying that because, and you would, and most people would understand, law enforcement wouldn't, but it's like a lot
well,
of
they would understand, they would still prosecute you.
Yeah. But people would understand why you did that and why that was righteous. And maybe not like that wouldn't like. Be allowed anymore. I don't know, but it's just like that's it's just
well,
this no, is
what,
a
what you're saying is true where it's like if they are, you know, the idea is yes, the reason you have the state and the political arbiter between parties is so people don't just punch each other in the face all the time, right?
Yeah. Also,
so
yeah,
if you don't if most people have a feeling and the state is not doing this stuff, is not respecting that and operating that on the basis of that, then
also
It's just leaving the door open.
Are things so far gone as far as liberals versus conservatives in the normie world where is it now an own? Like, because the argument that I could come up with, because, you know, as much as I don't want to fall into the guy's premise and participate in this kind of right. schlock, I still, the brain starts turning a little bit. And it's like, well, we're talking about a high school teacher. I have children. I'm trying to raise children to be like me and their mother, to be good people. A man dressed up as a woman with massive prosthetic tits is the like antithesis of how I want my son to come out after all the work I put into raising him. So it's like you're interfering with that and with every other parent. So it's like, is the own now is like, oh, so you wouldn't love your son if he ended up being like a tranny with gigantic fake tits? And my answer is like, well, yeah, no. I would love the idea of my son, and I would hate myself for failing him such. But it's like you're not letting me fail my own. Like you are doing the failure for me. You're not protecting my family's decisions and my family. You know, me and my family's the life that we want to lead. Like you're interfering with it by putting this psychopath in the classroom. And by the way,
the other thing is that person is a pervert and probably a sexual abuser.
And by the way,
get them the fuck away from kids. Like what the fuck is wrong with you?
And why didn't the Canadian truckers stop this? Wasn't this Canada? I was told by very angry people that don't like us and NJP that we were disrespecting this wonderful like anti-establishment movement that was going to take down all this garbage in Canada and put an end to it. It's like where's the Canadian truckers? Why is that movement completely over and ineffective and doing nothing? How
I'll
could
something.
Why would Canadian truckers allow this giant prosthetic titted man to teach teenagers at a local high school?
I will bet you that guy was at the Canadian trucker protest.
He doesn't want to wear a mask. He wants to wear, like, tits.
No, I'm joking. No. He was wearing a mask, so it's probably a libtard.
No, you are taking away from my point by doing that, though.
The Canadian trucker protest was run by a gay Jew.
There you go.
So that's one reason. That's one reason why they're not there. But
really, because I was told, I swore up and down that we were the gay Jews for being like, yeah, that's an unfocused movement that doesn't mean anything, and it's going to disappear as soon as it...
Yeah. Well, people got mad when I pointed out that there was a gay Jew at the head of it, and they were just like, don't say that. And I'm like, well, it's just true, though. But
here you go.
Shut up.
And here you go.
Like, because I want to like this, and I'm like, look, I'm sorry. I don't want to always be doing this. But, like, again, you know, if you're going to go for these things, don't get mad at me for telling you what the reality is. I'm just telling you what the reality is. Like you just, if that's your opinion, then you just want to live in a fantasy world. But as far as this thing, I would say no. Like the very premise that some logical argument must be constructed, but then they don't even believe in that themselves, because there's plenty of times where Jews will turn around where we have a very logical argument, and they will turn around and use their feelings
right,
of
their
not
feelings,
being
their
safe
visceral.
Or their feelings of being like, oh, the, you're being anti-Semitic and we're being put upon, where it's like there's no logic at all to many of the ADL's assertions about this or that is like a hate symbol now,
right,
or whatever.
Right.
It's like so all of these ancient Nordic, Scandinavian, Germanic symbols have been turned into hate symbols. Why? Well, because they make Jews feel bad. And so like they have, you know, like all just anyone you can think of, right? And they put them on these symbol watch things, and like, well, these are some people's meaningful symbols for some people. And she was like, well, we don't care. And I was like, what's your logical argument for why you are putting that symbol on some hate watch thing and you want to incite government action and political activity against any person who will wear that symbol or use that symbol? You know, they can't make a logical case for that. I mean, this idea, if that's what we're going to play that game, I will come up with like an almost infinite number of things where Jews have no logical case and it is purely based on their feelings.
Right.
And say, I challenge you to come up with an actually sound argument about this, and you actually can't. Now, in this case, as it turns out, like there's the moral outrage, but there's also like it's very easy to say, well, that person is probably that person is a high likelihood of being a sexual abuser. Mm-hmm. Based on the fact that they insist on some kind of right to mm-hmm. wear a disgustingly over-sexualized, perverted costume in front of children.
That is, I mean, that's sexual assault right there. I mean,
they're not even doing it at like a Brooklyn party space.
No.
I don't approve of that either, but that's like, that's still somewhat of a different thing. It's like if it's some like perverted adult like thing, I don't approve of that either. We should want to, obviously that's going to get stomped out too. But the fact that they don't even do that anymore. All that gay shit has mm-hmm. gone from like, we want to do mm-hmm. it in private in our own bedrooms or in private in our own clubs. So now we want to do it in schools and libraries with little kids around. Like they've literally moved the needle to that. And this is like a fucking ritual. This is like a religious thing. Like libtards, they treat this like it's a fucking religious thing now.
Yep.
And so this is drag. Okay. That's like drag, that outfit that guy's in, right? It'd be classified as that, as such. And they probably, since drag is increasingly becomes a kind of protected fucking
category. I don't
think
he's drag, because drag is like costume play, where this guy, I believe this guy believes he's a woman and this is his identity. And he's just this also goes to a thing. One of my favorite things is like when libtards say things like we need to have like an open and honest discussion about mental illness. It's like, well, this is what you mean. Like this person's mentally ill. He identifies as someone, and it's like the solution, the conversation you want to have is how I accept your mental illness and I don't condemn you for it, and I remove the stigma and I just allow you to be mentally ill. It's like, that's not what's supposed to happen. Like the conversation about mental illness is supposed to end in the diagnosis, the patient accepting that I have the mental disability of some kind, and you work on how to make it go away. But instead we're doing
or you have to be removed from other people.
Or if you're removing you
have no agency, and so you must be removed from you have other to, people. That's so yes, the open and honest discussion is literally like, let me browbeat you until you accept my viewpoints on everything.
Yeah.
Until you shut the fuck up and stop advocating for yourself. That's all that is. Everyone gets that.
And I want the opposite.
Yeah, I mean,
like you shut
what even up. Happened with this? Like
it's Canada, so it's like it's just gonna go the humiliations will continue until the First Nations people take the country back over, I guess. I don't really know. I mean, I assume it's Canada, it's United States but worse. It's like America but gayer, you know?
I search fake breasts in Canada.
I mean, are parents even mad? Like, I don't even know. Is anybody even outraged about this?
There are parents that are fucking mad, dude.
Boy, he's got, like, giant hooters. I don't know. Was that Canadian enough? Or was that, like, more Midwest? I don't know.
So it says Canadian school defends trans teacher who wore giant breasts to class, prompting protests. So yes,
if you're used to thinking of Canada as our slightly dorky cousin, literally
this is Tucker doing
with a
like
mullet
shit,
is considered a legitimate haircut.
Oh come on, Tucker,
where
shut
American
the fuck
fads
up.
Go to die. And of course, you're used to thinking all of that about Canada because it's long been true. It's time to think again. Suddenly, out of nowhere, Canada, of all places, is a leading indicator. As the woke revolution spreads across the West, Canada is at the vanguard of it. Under Justin Trudeau, Canada has done everything to the maximum possible extent. It has criminalized political speech. It has banned self-defense. It's used the power of the state to squelch Christianity. All of it. So if you want to know what's going to happen next in the United States, it's time to look north. Canada is the ghost of our Christmas future. So with that in mind, it's worth taking a look at what is happening right now in Canada's schools, because you are certain to see all of it in your children's schools very soon. So this week, videos surfaced on the internet from a place called Trafalgar High School in Oakville, Ontario. That's right across the lake from Niagara Falls. These videos show a teacher called Stephen Hanna, who apparently has been employed at Trafalgar High for several years. Recently, Hanna decided to dress like a woman, or more precisely, as a grotesque caricature of a woman, not a real woman.
As they all
but a kind
are.
Of pneumatically inflated Marilyn Monroe lookalike. As part of his costume, Hanna strapped on a pair of gigantic prosthetic breasts, each the size of a 10-pound watermelon. We're not exaggerating here. They're visible from at least 100 yards away, if not from space. We'll show you the picture we are right now on the screen. But here's the thing. Hanna isn't doing this in private, in his home, in restaurants and clubs. If he were, we would not be mentioning it on the show.
Oh,
because it would not be our business.
It'd be okay. It'd be not our business. You forgot to ask someone.
No.
I say
Stephen
no.
Stephen Hanna is doing it
I don't consent to that.
Children. As the Canadian journalist Jonathan
Can you stop it a second?
Been...
Can you stop it a second? Like society.
Is that coming from my computer?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were playing that. I was just clicking through articles on this.
No, you were playing that. I thought you were doing
that
on purpose.
Playing that.
No, that was you. That's coming through your shit.
I playing Tucker Carlson. My bad.
I was kind of surprised you were doing that.
Like, I was just going along. Okay. But no, I just wanted to see.
Well, I just want to tell Tucker that like society has long since like proven that it's not capable of doing shitty things in private. It's like, no, he's like, you're not allowed to. Like, you need the government in your bedroom. You need state power like in every aspect of your life so you don't do weird shit like this. So you don't.
Yeah, no, our ancestors have been vindicated on all of this.
Yeah,
shit, dude.
Like, it's just like it's like if you want to go back to Rothbard or whoever it was that like asked like who are these angels that you're gonna find to like run this like
Milton Friedman
was like, well, I don't know who they are, but you better fucking work on finding them, and I'll sign
well,
up right now.
I'm one of those.
It's me. Yeah, it's me. It's me, like you. Yeah, it's me. Like you have to get dispel. Let's dispense with the notion, or let's dispel with the notion. Is that what? Is that what the miss?
Let's dispel the illusion or something.
Dispel with the notion that like people can't run a state and have like a lot of power to prevent things, because we all know.
Yeah, of course, the Jew tells you, well, this is the typical thing. Yeah. Well, you could do that, but then you'd have. Exercising a lot of power, and somebody else could come along and exercise power against you.
Like what's happening right now? Like we have the blueprint now. It's like it's time. It's like you need to flip the script instead.
So that's why I hate that fucking conservative response, which they still will do it to us.
Yeah.
And you know the worst is because Jamie is on Gab.
Oh God,
she gets these. Now there's a lot of people on Gab that are just right there with us that are our guys.
I would tell them like I don't need the government in biomedicine because I'm not a pervert.
But the thing is this, the boomer or the spiritual boomer conservative types on Gab and like you'll get they'll be libertarians or conservatives. They will do that thing of like she was arguing with somebody yesterday who's like collectivism is like cowardice.
Okay,
I don't need a collectivist. It's like okay, no,
yes, you do. You've been completely dominated in political and personal life because you're not a collectivist. Like you get nothing.
Yes,
if you're a conservative, none of your values are reflected by the society anymore. They are constantly under attack. They are constantly not just under attack, but the attacks win and you lose. So yeah, you can.
But the answer to that is also like, so what? Okay, fine.
But it's like performatively. Like what's the outcome here? Like you are an individual and you're getting fucking stomped. You are getting curb stomped. You have been the only way that you can avoid it is because you're probably a boomer. You have some wealth accumulation. You can hide somewhere from it and pretend it's not happening.
Yeah,
like those
pretend
people
it's not happening in my town, even though it is like objectively happening in your town. Yeah. But the other thing is that the mindset of it is very interesting, because the mindset that needs to be defeated is that of like is it sort of like the idea that this is all like some kind of abstract thing.
Right.
Because this is what conservatives retreat into, right? So these hosts, these radio hosts with this kid that gets murdered, they retreat to like, well, this is why you don't have arguments and such like that. And so for them, it's like it's almost like the idea that it's like when you point out to them, and I've heard this from several people. A friend of ours told me she'd said this to her dad recently.
Mm-hmm.
She made this argument to her dad where like because her what they do is they get trapped in this idea of what it is to be conservative. What do conservatives believe? Well, conservatives believe this, and this, and therefore we don't have government involved in this. We don't have government involved in this. And So her friend was telling me, she said to her dad, well, yeah, but see, the problem is you constantly lose because of that.
Right.
Maybe it was even, were you telling me this, or maybe multiple people told me this?
It wasn't me. Yeah.
And her dad thought for a second, like, what do you mean though? Like, what do you, she's like, but when you don't exercise these, you don't go out and you exercise, you then they do it and you have to live with it.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, yeah, but that's bad when they're doing it. What they're doing is bad. And she's like, but
then they get to keep doing
like,
it.
But does any, but so what? They don't care that you say it's bad.
Right.
Like, that doesn't, has you telling them what they're doing is bad ever stopped them from doing it? Well, no. And so this is sort of this big disconnect where the idea, it's almost like the idea of actually affecting something is like not, that hasn't
it's painful.
Because their whole thing is like, I'm going to be the right way. So it's like this collectivism is cowardice guy. It's like, okay, so you're brave. Let's say collectivism is cowardice. Okay. The brave person is like only ever fights 100% by themselves. Armies are filled with cowards, right? Because they're just,
well, it's also like, it's
they're
also
fighting
like,
as a group.
It's
right?
also like, you just don't fight. That's the other
well,
thing.
No, like, this guy doesn't fight.
No,
you
don't
fight. And
you just say that
reality,
when it comes up.
The reality is, like, individualism is cowardice.
Right.
Okay, that's cowardice. Because what you are is you're afraid to join a fight. You're afraid to join a group, and you're afraid to join a fight. So you're like, I'm a special individual. That's just, you're just a fucking pussy.
Yep.
And that's and that can be proven easily by challenging you to actually do something, which you won't. As an individual. If you're, because it's like, oh, well, I'm not going to do that without a bunch of guys. Okay, there. So case, like, fucking proven. But, like, it's just this whole thing of like just the non-expectation of actually being able to do something. I mean, this is, it's actually insane. Like, and everything comes down to like how you, like with this, it's like, we shouldn't, does it occur to conservatives that maybe we should have a society where libtards aren't like mowing people down?
Right.
No, we accept that that's the case. And we just adjust our behavior. That's what these hosts were saying. We accept that this is the case. That lunatic libtards are out there ready to mow people down. And we adjust our behavior to not argue in public now. So we'll be good conservatives and we won't argue in public because these lunatics are out there. So maybe these lunatics shouldn't be out there. You know, that it's like they just they can't get it through their heads. And I think it's literally just a response to being so powerless for so long that this is a coping mechanism. And the problem is now these people are married to these coping mechanisms. So our job is, and we're going to be resented for it, is to break them out of these coping mechanisms, to attack and shame them until they no longer will do this or until they're just afraid of saying it. That's the other thing. Ultimately, the kind of pushback and the arguments will make these people feel actually afraid of just saying this shit in public because they'll just get humiliated. The funniest thing was apparently this collectivism is cowardice guy started getting like dogpiled, and it's like, so now what? Even just in the dumb online interaction, right? Even in just this dumb online interaction in Gab, you just got dogpiled and you ran away. And you could say the collectivism is cowardice, but all the people that dogpiled you off the internet for a day are like doing virtual high fives and laughing. And there you are, like, you know, so it's still, it's a stupid online thing, but it's like, that's just still an example, right? Anyway.
Anyway.
It gets very frustrating.
Everybody have a nice weekend. I have to go. Try to have a fun, brave, individualist, non-surrenderous weekend all by yourself.
Yeah.
Or get together and have some parties. Collectivize. It'll be more fun.
I might do an individualism this weekend, but that just only. But I'll be collective in spirit.
Oh, you're collecting like the health of your sciatic nerve, so you're just gonna.
Yes, I'm trying to individually, like, individually rest.
Right.
To individualism of like keeping my leg up.
We'll see you guys next week.
All right.
I don't know when we'll see you because this video is never gonna upload.
Yeah. Who knows?
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may hate. Those who hate you don't hate unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.